clapping, everybody. Pay no attention to that off-microphone commentary.
Just Tom and I arguing again.
It's our show meeting.
I have to agree with Tom. I could care less about a musical.
F musicals.
14 nominations for a stupid musical.
You know it's winning. Everything.
But you guys haven't seen the movie.
Don't even watch
the musical.
Oscars.
I don't need to.
Don't even watch the Oscars. It's winning everything.
Do people break into song?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Do people do that in real life? No.
I don't know. I sometimes.
That'd be very realistic. You break into song?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Well, do it during the podcast. Don't hear what it's like.
Too damn big. My penis too damn big.
Sing a Christmas song to me, Mark.
No.
Oh, God. Well, Jeff Perlman's coming up in about 25 minutes. The author of Gunslinger and many other books, including his XFL book. Well, the USFL book, I'm sorry.
It's coming up next year.
The XFL 30 for 30 is coming up, which...
You excited about that?
Yeah, I am excited. Yes. About it.
I never liked it.
Well, I thought it was so stupid. Right. That's why I'm interested in it. I just thought it was such a dumb idea.
The opening kickoff was fun.
The coin toss.
The fight for the fumble. Oh, so silly. We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios. And that reminds me to tell you about Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com. So excited to partner up with our podcast and be the official studio sponsor. To celebrate this, our friends at Zot and Holly are offering up to 30% off select new vehicles for the month of January. She's got a few days left, so swing out to Zot Ford at I-75 and exit 98, past Jesus. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you, and then sit back and watch the magic happen. Surf their insane deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. What a great website. All the prices, all the vehicles, A-Plan, whatever you could possibly pay for a vehicle, it's right there. It's Zot Ford and Holly. They love making buying or leasing your next new Ford fun, simple, easy, and hassle-free. They want to take care of their partners, and you, as our listeners, are their newest partners, and they're very excited about it. Lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for only $119 a month. That's $119 for a 17
That's
Ford
a giveaway.
Fusion. I know. Isn't that amazing? I was just saying, you know, people that
look
give
for
old
used cars
used
for
cars.
Their kids, forget
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Those days are over.
$117? Holy crap. Or wait, $119. I'm sorry. Oh, $119, $117. What's the difference? Or at least a new 16 Ford. I'll pick up the $2. Or at least a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4, $173 per month. Both are 24-month leases. See the phenomenal deals and massive inventories at DealsInTheD.com.
They're probably killing their used car deals. That's the only downside. Those poor used car guy salesman.
I don't know.
Let's keep new cars going. Did you see the story about all the, was it Volkswagen that really
yeah.
messed up?
And all those cars parked at the Silverdome.
At Tom's Plagueland, the Silverdome.
Can I tell you a quick?
Oh, boy.
The other day, I was just driving. I was on the phone. Before you know it, I didn't even know where the hell I was driving to. I made it as far as like up to M59. But and that's like a half an hour ride for me.
Where were you trying to go?
I don't even know where I was going. I
think what road were you on?
I was on – I don't even know how I started. I'd be honest, I think I turned on Mound or something like that. Okay. And before you know it, I'm on M59.
Well, you're near the Zot location on M59.
I was. Hey. But before you know it, I'm like, you know what? I'm this close. Let me go visit the Silverdome.
Visit the Silverdome.
Yeah, I figured I could go get in the parking lot or whatever. I could not get in the damn thing. Every entrance was blocked.
That's why, though, because I think Volkswagen is paying to park
the
cars
parking
there.
Lot.
Yeah.
So I pulled over on
just park them there.
I pulled over right on Opdyke, and I pulled like in the lot, you know, right where the gate is.
Yeah.
And where the old practice field was.
Right.
And, you know, and there's the stadium. I did get out and take some pictures. Would you like to see them?
Yeah, I actually want to see how stupid these are.
I'm curious to see.
Show you some pictures.
What
anyway,
you got out of these pictures. Normally, these pictures would never be seen by anyone
else.
There you
go, Mark. You can
people go, oh, why did I even take
them,
these?
Mark. It's going, then Drew could look at
this
them.
This is
going
to be awful.
Well, that, anyway, I paid
the
my
first
homage.
Thing I see on this one is just a stop sign.
Well, you got to make it bigger, Mark.
We really could,
by the way,
we could center show and tell around Tom quite easily.
Look at that angle. You didn't even, it's like,
I pulled over.
An angle.
I pulled
picture
over. I
does
didn't
appear
get out
to
of the
be,
car.
The picture appears to be of the stop sign or of the parked cars. I'm not sure which.
Anyway, I paid homage to the Silverdome, and I just said, man, this place could really be something. It really could.
True.
You like, what's that picture?
That was me like? Driving away.
Out his windshield.
I was driving away.
That's it.
That's it. I took
oh, there's
pictures.
Mags and Layla. Yeah, took a picture of Mags and Layla.
I took a picture of Mags and Layla. They were down in the basement last week.
Do you have a picture book coming out soon?
No, I don't have a picture book yet.
An awful lot of pictures. Uh-huh. Every people mover stop?
Oh, you're going
I
to see
the people mover.
You're going to see Passengers.
Yeah, isn't that something?
When are you going to see Passengers?
My kids went and saw it. Yeah. Here you go, Drew.
I feel like Larry David when they want him to take the house tour and he doesn't want to take the house tour.
I insist you look at these pictures.
It's a house. I've seen it. It's got rooms. It's got bathrooms. It's got a roof.
Poor Susie.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, Susie wanted him to go look at it.
Nah, I don't see
it. Pretty good.
That was a great picture.
Yeah. Thank you. That was just me driving away for the last time, possibly.
For possibly the last time?
Maybe the last time.
Bullshit, because if they ever blow it up, you will be there the day before.
I will. I wish I could just strap myself to it.
I'm fascinated by all the pictures here. I'm just looking at everything. Chick-fil-A. Why'd you take a picture of Chick-fil-A?
Because my wife's a big fan of Chick-fil-A, and I happened to be at Oakland University that day. So I said, you know, I'm not a big Chick-fil-A guy, but I'm like, hey, look how close I am to Chick-fil-A.
Well, why didn't you just buy her some Chick-fil-A and take it home to her?
It's more fun teasing her with the picture.
You know, I was at Somerset. There's one in Somerset.
Yes.
And that line.
It's amazing.
Is ridiculous.
I took a picture of the book that we're interviewing the author for.
Well, I put that on Twitter.
Okay.
It's very nice.
It's very productive.
I try.
I'm glad you kept the photo and didn't delete it.
Tell us a picture of his own driver's license.
That's for Uber. Oh, you have to, you know, put your documents in.
Okay.
Since I got the new car, I had to, you know, show them what car.
Can you explain that picture, please?
Yeah, it's the Orange Bowl.
It's the old Orange Bowl logo that I loved that they don't have on the field anymore. And it upset me. So I took a picture of the old smiling orange.
It really is magical.
Okay.
Anything else?
Why do you keep them all in your phone? Why don't you delete them?
I will delete them. Here's me with the Rockettes back 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Hey.
What the hell?
Who are the other two gentlemen there?
It's my brother-in-law and his best friend.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm ending this detour right now so I can get the break.
Did you notice I went to the game as well, the Ohio State-Michigan game?
Ah, yes, he has a picture of the ticket stub
quite a weekend.
In the corner.
A weekend.
Are you working more than 40 hours a week and not getting overtime pay? Lots of you are, and it may be breaking the law, even if you're a salary employee. Have you lost a promotion or missed out on a raise because of your age, race, or gender?
No doubt.
Well, let's get you over there.
You should.
Have you been seriously injured on the job? If you're being paid unfairly, discriminated against at work, or been injured on the job, you need to call our friends at Gold Star Law. If you're being screwed, call Gold Star.
He's breaking the law.
The call is free. The meeting with the attorney is free. There's nothing to lose. You pay nothing until they win for you. It's completely confidential. They don't contact your lawyer, so if you decide against it or they tell you, you know, it's just not a good case, nobody finds out. Gold Star filed more employment law cases in Michigan last year than all the other firms combined. It's what they do. The other attorneys and judges know what they say is true, which is why we recommend them. Got a good shot for you. If they believe in your case, you can believe in it. Call Gold Star Law. Get the money you deserve. Call 248-851-GOLD, 248-851-GOLD, or click goldstarlaw.com. I only wish I had known them when I had that sliding overtime scale where you make less every overtime hour to encourage you to be more productive.
What a bunch
asshole.
Bunch of crap.
I know. Unbelievable. Oof. I was just reading about Favre and Favre girl.
Yeah, there's not as much in there as we would have hoped, right?
No. He did send her multiple penis pics, and one of them he was masturbating in while wearing a pair of Crocs.
Is that Jen Sturger?
Yeah. Jen Sturger.
Well, he likes to be comfortable all parts of his body while he's beating off.
She loved that story, too. For all her complaining, she ate it up.
Yep.
She got all the media, every ounce of media attention she could. And I don't know, Celebrity Net Worth says she's worth $1.5
million. She's got a ton of followers, like on Twitter and stuff still. That's because she puts sexy pictures up.
She's hot, though, yeah.
Does she put a lot of pictures up?
Oh, yeah.
You follow her? Yeah.
No, I don't.
She got rid of her boobs right after they...
Did she really?
After they served her purpose.
Her boobs are gone? But she had... But it's her derriere that got her most attention.
Wow. No, I think it was the boobs.
I think it was the boobs at Florida State.
That's what got that's what got Musburger going.
Yes,
1,500 red-blooded Americans just applied to Florida State.
The way she tried to...
Okay, second down and nine.
The way she tried to suggest that, you know, her whole family had been hurt and dragged into it. Somebody went up to my sister and said, oh, you're Favre girl's sister.
No one did that. That's never
happened.
Nope.
Fiction.
Where the hell is she?
Yet everyone in Good Morning America, every watcher of Good Morning America that day had to hear that silly, silly story.
It was silly.
What's not so silly? Eh, boy, these stories just really make people think. Some guy in Commerce Township stabbed his wife to death. Mother of three, lived in a beautiful big house in Commerce Township.
Kids were in the house too.
$500,000 home, I guess. Had a great job with Quicken Loans. He was a team leader, some kind of technical division. He did resign from his job, though, in December.
Did he resign?
That's what they said.
Huh. Okay.
Why? Did you hear something else?
When we came, we talked about it a little bit upstairs, and I came down here, and Channel 7 ran their story. And interesting, they named him, too. Channel 4 would not name him. Channel 7. It's kind of, I think it's always interesting as to who names the guy, because he's technically not a suspect.
He hasn't been arrested.
Yeah, hasn't been arrested. That's
supposedly,
of course. But they said that he just hasn't worked for them for a month. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, if you resign, you would, wouldn't you say that?
Well, I think I heard that on a couple different
stories. The only reason that matters is because you would think, you know, you lose a good job. And they also, Channel 7 said that this guy was fighting depression, too.
The cops had been out there a couple times recently, so something was not right in that house.
Crappy story, any way you look at it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's brutal.
How about the guy that shot his wife thinking she was an intruder? Mm-hmm. The kid's like, Daddy, someone's trying to break in the front door of the house. The guy gets a gun from the safe, and he shoots her. And it's his wife, and as she's dying in his arms, she's saying, I love you.
Oh, God.
What happened between him getting the gun and shooting her? Like, wasn't there a conversation, or did he just fire?
He opened the door, and it said he opened the door, and he fired, and he shot her.
He opened the door.
Yeah.
He didn't see that this was a female.
No.
He didn't turn on the
he
lights
shot
outside.
First and looked later, I guess.
Oh, God. Oh, what a horrible story. Where's that story? I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
It happened in North Carolina. I'll find it for you.
They have pictures of the...
Yeah.
Wife and the husband?
Yep.
I don't know why I want to see him. It's just going to make me feel worse, but I do.
It does make you feel bad.
I don't think it really adds much to the story, seeing him.
It doesn't?
I don't think so. I mean, they're just generic white people. I mean, how racist of me, but...
Wow.
He's 48. She was 48.
God. I just can't imagine shooting that person.
Can you imagine the kid that's his dad?
I know.
It's an intruder?
She works the late shift. I guess she's a nurse. So she came home early, so he wasn't expecting her. But isn't that always a possibility?
Having a gun, man.
Who knows? Maybe she texted him and he didn't read the text.
That's possible, too. He opened the door, met by the person in the dark. They have light? Don't they have a light switch?
I just think you got... If somebody's coming home anytime in the near future... You would want to be a little bit cautious before you just fire at somebody.
Yeah. You want to hear the 911 call?
Yeah. I don't know why I want to hear this, but I will.
This made Inside Edition. She just
got this. Oh, you got to watch an ad first, because who doesn't want to be an advertiser?
Oh, yeah, I want my ad running before this 911 call.
Jesus.
Because you'll get this. You can even set boundaries for her.
Who's the ad for?
It's for our car company.
Here or here, you'll know. So don't worry, Mom, because you put this in here. Hum by Verizon. The technology
you
designed
put this
to make your
in
car
here?
Smarter, safer, and more connected. Put some smarts in your car.
911, what's your emergency?
Mommy, what is Cassie? The house is on fire.
A 911
dispatch. Oh, that's a girl calling
every
her
story.
Mom. Say the house is on fire.
It's from her own daughter.
Mom!
The house is burning down.
Well, I clicked on this.
That's weird. How does she call 911 and know who's going to answer? Great. That kid, because she's mom. Her mom answered 911. She immediately says, "Mommy, mommy."
Just listen. Wait a sec. I clicked on the link in the other story, and it gives me that crap.
Now, if I did this, you guys would be killing me.
What's going on? Tell me what's happening.
It's not my fault.
Is your father awake? We're
so calm. If Mike Clark did it, the biggest beating of all would occur. Just get
the
there's a lot of history with uncued tapes.
Oh, that's great.
Is everybody okay? Everyone's out of the house?
No prep on the tapes?
Well, he always would insist that it was cued.
Yeah.
He would always be asked, is it cued? Yeah, it's absolutely cued it three times.
Well, then it got to the point where it had to be perfectly cued.
Yeah, if it was even two frames off, he would take heat.
When I make a mistake, I have eight different people coming by to tell me about
Peter Gibbons. I can watch that movie. It brightens my day up the minute I watch it.
What movie was that? I didn't even know.
Office Space. Office Space,
yeah. Oh, Office Space. Yeah, we had the O-Face guy yesterday.
You did?
I gave him my O-Face. Just the drop. Jay played the drop. You know, I know we talked about this before, but I just read another story about reaction mix to Kid Rock shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I wanted to read the comments, and I never did, but a lot of it had to do with the Confederate flag. Because he used the Confederate flag at one time.
He hasn't used that in years,
I know,
though, right?
I know. But, you know, people are just so unforgiving now.
But that's...
And his support of President-elect Donald Trump. It's not about him not being a big enough star or anything. Actually, I think people are generally... I sense that when the people who actually like music are talking, they're very happy. But it's other people like these reverends who are saying, he flew the Confederate flag.
Well, I hope those reverends don't ever do, what, business in South Carolina, because they once flew the flag. Or, you know, a lot of places in the South flew the flag, actual states.
Well, you know, how many tickets do these reverends buy, by the way, for these shows?
None.
How many do they go to in their flock?
He doesn't fly it anymore. He hasn't flown it for years.
And what is this where you can't vote for a presidential candidate without being somehow... This is just getting so stupid, it's driving me fucking crazy.
There's another thing that I would be destroyed for.
I'm just striking out all over.
Mark's a little off today.
I know.
This is not usually something that happens to Mark.
I know.
Are you slipping?
This new phone.
It's been hanging out.
I finally got a new phone.
Oh, that's right. It's not the phone that always rings anymore.
No, I know. And I didn't set it to silence. So no one texted.
What'd you wind up
getting? My phone. Your cell phone blows.
My phone's not on silent either. I just realized.
Damn it. I should have.
How much memory did you get? Because they only give you two choices now.
256.
Oh, you went that high?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Because I'm not going to get a new. I'm not going to get the 8. I won't get the 9. This will suffice until until the other one's a piece of shit.
Did you hear the latest rub about somebody who's boycotting someone?
No, who?
Piers Morgan does a morning show in England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like AM BBC or something, or the
Good Friends
Breakfast Club or one of those type of shows. Is he good friends with Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was Piers Morgan? Apprentice.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's not about Trump, though. Piers Morgan made some comments about the Women's March, that he didn't understand what the point was, that, you know, usually when you do that, there's a goal. And he also thought that some of the comments were nasty and really, I'm trying to think exactly what he said, something to that effect. He's referring to Madonna saying, suck my dick. And
he hates Madonna.
Yeah. And Ashley Judd. Beautiful. Was making a joke about him banging Ivanka, and he just
thought,
and so Ewan McGregor was supposed to go on and promote a movie today, and he refused to go on because of the comments Piers Morgan made about the Women's March. Wait, so in other words, you can't be interviewed by someone you don't agree with politically.
Why was Ewan McGregor going on there
to promote a movie?
I would think the movie house would be a little pissed off about that.
I'd be pissed. You want to know the biggest dumbest thing about this? The most ridiculous part of this. He's buddies with and makes movies with none other than Roman Polanski.
Really?
The rapist of a 13-year-old in America. He's not allowed on American turf because he fled the country when he was about to face
charges.
A long time
ago.
Yeah.
And he still, to this day, cannot get back in the U.S., even though Hollywood gives him standing ovations.
Friends with him?
Yeah. And just made a movie. Just made a movie with him.
That's oh, my God. That's just wrong.
I think Piers, I believe, posted a picture of them hanging out.
You know, Polanski was back in the news, too. Did you know that?
What now?
He was supposed to host like the French version of the Oscars.
Oh yeah,
and they,
yeah.
They finally just withdrew him, and he's very sad.
Oh, he's so sad, is he? Why doesn't he come back and face the charges he ran away from?
What year was that?
77,
yeah,
I think.
70s.
Yeah, a 13-year-old girl. He gave her a Quaalude, I think. And
it was in the
Jack Nicholson's hot tub.
Hot tub. Yep.
Wow. When he was with Angelica Houston, she came home when this was going on, I guess. And I think the girl's mother called the cops afterwards.
Did he have relations with her?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was supposed to be he was supposed to be taking some modeling pictures or something. And
should have gelded him.
Away.
They should have gelded him right there.
But he's Ewan's buddy.
But see, that there's one example where a boycott worked because women groups were all over this French Oscars, I guess is the best way they're going to put it. And then they actually said, all right, you know what? This is a terrible idea to begin with.
Well,
I don't know why.
That was pretty stupid.
Of course it
really
is.
Really stupid. In fact, I don't understand why this guy has been allowed to just move along his career so successfully. He just won an Oscar, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
But got that huge ovation in Hollywood. Yeah, couldn't be there because he's not on the country because he raped a 13-year-old girl, but got a gigantic ovation. And it seems to me, I recall a lot of people were suggesting that, why can't he be pardoned? He's so wonderful.
He was literally caught.
Yeah. Not to mention Hollywood's continued support of Woody Allen, by the way. Hollywood, who is so judgmental about some people, but not about others.
That girl, too, that he raped wanted him to, or she wants the charges to be dropped, which I'm just kind of surprised by that.
She's about, isn't she about 50 now, I think?
She's in her 77, 50s. Yeah.
Yeah.
13, she'd be 54, 55.
I think she said she'd forgiven him a few years ago. I remember reading about
it. Doesn't mean the charges should be dropped.
No.
Did she ever get anything from that?
Yeah, he fled the charges. You can, you know, people that do that have to face it.
Did she get money out of that at all?
I don't know.
Did she get anything?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. So anyway, yeah,
they're criminal charges. The state's just not going to drop them because he leaves. They still have a right and a duty.
But this idea that people can only think one way is really a little disturbing.
Especially because everybody's hypocritical. Everybody's hypocritical about everything.
Pretty much. You know, somebody, I think it was Piers Morgan actually made a pretty good point. Why isn't there, for all the hullabaloo the last few days, and I'm not putting down the Women's March. I thought it was pretty amazing. The numbers were incredible.
It was great. No harm. Big deal.
Why doesn't anyone march? You know, we talk about Jim Fouts and all his comments. Nobody making any noise in Warren about that.
They got a meeting tonight, don't they?
Yeah.
City Council.
Nothing will happen. Trust me.
Well, I don't know, though. They're talking about getting a special investigator to look into those charges about using the state of the city as a fundraiser.
Maybe our friend Gladys will be there.
That's the only way to get rid of him.
Yeah. Gladys will be there on his behalf. She supports him. She says it's not him on the tapes, but she hasn't listened to the tapes.
Speaking of Warren, and I know it's not cool to want to punch people in the face these days, but I wanted to punch one of those kids in the face that robbed the 70-year-old woman. You know that story?
Did
you see him crying like a little bitch?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, didn't you just want to just punch him in the face while he was crying?
Well.
And if I was the judge, too, when he goes, guilty, I should be like, all right, yep, first answer. Nope, first answer, you pled guilty. Did you catch that?
I heard him whining.
But he said guilty at first and then changed it to not guilty.
Well, he was crying the whole time, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Bad looking crying.
What city was this?
Fuck that guy. Warren. Jeez.
I know. Unbelievable.
What'd they get? 20 bucks?
News lately, huh?
Was it 20 bucks?
Well, they took the credit card and they went and bought some very minor things. And I think cash back took like 20 bucks.
Boy, there's some, you know, there's a lot of crimes that are just so disturbing.
My grandma, unfortunately, visiting with my grandfather, my grandmother, and my aunt and uncle. They were at the cemetery. This was back in the 80s, and some punks saw my grandma holding a purse. They grabbed the purse, obviously, and she didn't want
to. The cemetery?
She didn't let go, and they dragged her, and she broke her hip. And
Jesus.
She passed away, you know, not too long after that.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, kids like that, man.
Did they catch him?
Yeah, they got him.
And what happened?
How bad? How much did they nail him?
You know, honest, I don't even remember what happened to them.
Mm. You know who really wants to people to stop asking about Donald Trump is Tom Brady. He can't get away from this is really, I gotta say,
it's his fault.
Well, in a way, it is, but you know. I have a little bit of sympathy for Tom Brady. I don't want to because I'm tired of you talking about him, mostly.
He's great.
I can't even argue anymore.
I know. Mark exhausts me. I want to talk to Julie about how to argue with Mark. He's impossible.
Well, you can't even argue against...
You win every argument with Julie?
No, I lose every argument with her.
Do you cave in? You give any ground?
Well, I guess the way she argues back is by not arguing. She goes, I don't care.
When are they going to get out of our life, the Patriots? When will they be out of our life?
I don't understand what your problem is with them.
My problem with Tom Brady?
14 in the last 16 years?
Huh?
Well, I don't even want to get into all that bullshit right
greatest
now.
Greatest player in team sports history?
No, he's not the greatest player in team sports history. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he is if you judge it by how many championships.
Michael Jordan won six. Yeah, he won six out of six.
Tom's been to more.
He left the league for 2 years or he would have won two more.
Well, quitter.
Anyway, he keeps being asked about Donald Trump. And he tried to say, I just want to talk about football. And, you know, to be honest here, do people bother Bill Clinton about being his friend? Or did people ever bother anybody about being Bill Clinton's friend? I don't remember that. And Bill Clinton, there's three women who claim Bill Clinton raped them.
Wait, who, he's friends with Bill Clinton, too?
No. I'm just saying, people don't go to people and say, hey, so is Bill Clinton your friend?
Donald Trump's so polarizing.
I mean, you know, oh, no, he is. He absolutely is. But Bill Clinton, you know, banged a 19-year-old intern. And I hate to be bringing up Bill Clinton or doing tit for tat, but I'm just trying to make a point that Tom Brady, is he not allowed to be friends with Donald Trump? He knows him from way back. He says he's privately met him and he thinks he's a good guy. He doesn't endorse everything he's said or done, which, no, what? Is everyone responsible for everything their friends do?
Well, you have to be so careful nowadays to even say a word.
I thought there was something to being loyal to people and sticking with them when things are bad. I mean, people fuck up all the time.
I don't know. I wonder if it's because Brady started this all. Remember when he had the hat in his locker?
Yeah.
This is, you know, summer of or beginning of fall of 2015, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, he's a great guy. It'd be great if he was president, probably never thinking that things that would happen. And then he just
but
never.
But that's still a very offhand comment.
Of course. Drew, of course. But then later down the line, people ask him to address it, and he kept blowing it off. And remember, he said, he doesn't
want to deal with it.
Of course.
Like, and I don't, if he does. I mean, a lot of people say who they're going to vote for, or I like this guy, or I don't like that guy. And it's like, what, they're going to hold his feet to the fire every chance they get?
Has he been asked? I mean, your friend has just been, you know, inaugurated as president.
I don't even know what the question was.
Why can't he talk about it?
I think people were pushing the subject to the press conference, and he was saying he just wanted to talk about football. It was after the championship game.
Yeah, I thought I saw some quotes in print where he was saying, look, I've known him for 16 years. You know, he's a friend for 16 years.
So
not about his presidential campaign.
I don't think, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to get in the habit of defending Tom Brady, Donald Trump, or any of these people. It's just some of this stuff is just getting really stupid. But I think we got Jeff Perlman.
Hey, all right.
Oh, we're going to have Jeff Perlman. The author of Gunslinger. No, it's okay. I completely forgot it was time, Jay, so I'm glad you... I'm glad somebody's keeping track.
You're talking about Brady. Now you can talk about Brett Favre.
Get a gun.
I didn't even look up Tom Brady in the index. Think there's anything there?
Favre hated Brady.
What do you mean, Favre?
Everyone hated him.
Yeah, he's friends with Donald Trump.
Jeff Perlman, Gizzard Farm and Factory. Please leave a message after the beep.
Hang up. Jeff's expecting a call. I just texted him. So I told him he's going to be live as soon as we say hi to him.
Brady is not in the index. Steve Bono is.
Steve Bono, the former UCLA quarterback?
I think he's mentioned very briefly. I believe I ran across his name. As somebody who ran the West Coast offense.
Jeff's in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, it's Drew and Mark and Maz. How you doing?
I'm good. Good.
Good.
Hey, Jeff.
Another great
Hello.
Hey, sorry to bother you while you're watching the kids. I know we got you at school time out west.
No, actually, it's kind of funny. I ended up, my wife and I traded, and I'm just writing today.
Awesome.
I'm on book deadline also.
Sweet. So how's Gunslinger doing?
I think it's doing well. Seems to be selling well. I don't know. You kind of, the books come out, and then you kind of, you pay attention for a while, and then you just move on to the next project.
Yeah, okay. And I know Maz wants to ask you about the next project, but as far as Gunslinger goes, I got to tell you, the one thing that reigns throughout this book that you keep coming back, not more than I thought you should or anything like that, it was fascinating to me, was Brett Favre's incredible ability to fart and just destroy people with his farts because he had 30 inches of his intestine removed.
It's a gift.
It seems to be.
Not many of us are blessed with.
Yeah.
My son is blessed with it, but very few people are blessed with that gift.
But tell me about the intestine. I'm sure you studied this a little bit. Removing the intestine made him a bigger farter?
Yeah, well, he basically what happened is he had 30 inches of his intestine removed after a car accident before senior year of college. And he ended up having a ton of gas related to the accident. And the doctor told him, just got to let it go. You have to let it go. So his mom told me, you know, he's in the hospital.
He went to med school
nonstop.
For that advice.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like farting nonstop. And he has maintained his fartalicious approach to life ever since, I suppose.
Yeah, it sounds like he had a lot of fun with it and really punished quite a few people.
That kind of leads to the theme of Brett Favre is, for some people, he's like a really great guy and he's a blast to be around. Unless you're dating him or married to him, he doesn't seem to be the best guy at times.
Well, I think now he's good. Yes, actually, he was not a good husband. He wasn't a loyal husband. He was not a great dad. You know, but I got to say that there's a real toxic mixture that you see in sports sometimes, which is fame with married to your high school sweetheart. Mm. Like that is a mixture that's almost certain to go bad because you marry this kid when you start dating him when he's 18 and he's just the local kid from wherever, Mississippi or Louisiana or Colorado, and fame comes and the woman is loyal to the guy, but the guy's traveling and there are groupies everywhere, and it never seems to work out as you would hope in some fairy tale.
But they're
still married.
I felt sorry for Deanna Favre so many times in this book. He's just brutal. I mean, I just thought, for a guy who is such a great teammate and people seem to like him so much and he's so easy with people, it's amazing that he misses that part of it. I mean, even when he's around her, when he's not a womanizing, it doesn't sound like he's really a very nice guy.
He wasn't at times. I mean, he was really bad. And just was like kind of an indifferent husband for a long time. And I think somewhere deep down he wanted to do the right thing and just didn't. I mean, he was kind of a screw up when it came to relationships. And you know, to me, the worst, the one that's really inexplicable is when he was with the Jets and he sent the pictures to the sideline reporter.
Jen Sturgeon, Favre girl.
Yeah, it was really pathetic because it was just like this like sad, older, lonely man in a hotel in New Jersey texting a woman who looked like his wife. I mean, that's a weird thing. She looked a lot like Deanna. And
wearing Crocs.
You know, Jen, say that again?
Wearing Crocs.
wearing Crocs. Is that what you noticed? And it was just sad and pathetic. And Jen, you know, Jen's actually a really nice person. And she caused a lot of grief for that. And she did absolutely nothing. She had never engaged with him. There was no leading on. There wasn't even a conversation. He just left her creepy messages and sent her pictures of his penis.
Yeah, that was, you would think he would have been well past that stuff by then, but, you know.
It is a lonely hotel in Jersey, so, you know.
The old Marriott.
You got it.
And she didn't sell them to Deadspin, you say in the book, right?
How could she not have sold them? Who could have sold them? I mean, how could somebody else? They had to get them from her, right?
Jeff probably knows. I don't know if say.
Yeah, I can't really say.
But is it just a friend she sent him to?
Would Brett copy somebody?
No, I really can't say. She did not do it. That I can tell you. She was horrified. Like, horrified. Horrified.
We had Jeff out for some drinks. I think there's a lot of information inside that head that doesn't quite get on the pages that we'd like to know.
Hey, would you have liked to have gotten something from Brett Favre? Because I know you interviewed over 570 people for this book, but Favre didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's good to talk to someone, but the philosophy is, or the general approach is, if someone doesn't talk to you, you just put your head down and roll forward, you know, and it kind of drives you to report even harder because, you know, if he's not going to help, all right, I'll just call a gazillion other people, get as much, try to collect as much as I can. I'm not looking to kill a guy, but you want to write a definitive biography.
He's only going to give you that certain version of himself anyway, right?
Yeah, but he still can give good background information and still tell you good stories from his childhood. I mean, you're not going to get stories about the pictures of Jen Sturger from him, but you might get a lot of color from his childhood and some moments from his career. You always want to talk to people.
Sure.
Who did you like talking to the most, or maybe somebody that surprised you? Either in his family.
There were two people. I loved his mother. Yeah. His mom is one of the nicest, most decent people I've ever met in my life. Just a true gem of a person, and shockingly, because I was told repeatedly how big of a jerk he was, Sterling Sharp was fantastic. Huh. Like, great. And all I ever heard about Sterling Sharp, besides his playing ability there, he was terrible to the media and jerk.
Yeah.
To me, he couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better.
He broke our hearts here in Detroit.
I think he's still wide open from that that pass.
That pass, by the way,
yeah.
I still think maybe the best pass Favre ever threw. The way he just rocked back and launched the thing, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You had some background in the book about that I hadn't read, and there was basically a route mix-up on a play before that or a similar play before that, right?
Well, what was really interesting about it is Sharp had hurt himself earlier in the game. See, this is where Sharp was really good. He hurt himself earlier in the game, and he was running at, like, I don't know, 80%.
That's right.
And he told me when Favre, he said that was the moment when he knew Favre was legit. Because he said Favre threw the ball, but he took a tiny bit off of it because they realized Sharp wasn't running at 100%. And he just said he was blown away by that throw because somehow instinctively Favre knew not just I'm going to throw this thing hard, but I have to place it a certain way because this guy is not running as fast as he usually does. Kind of amazing, actually.
It also helped that he was 20 yards past any line.
Yeah, that might help, too. Hey,
going back to the party days, and this is a guy who really does not want to give up his friendships and their Tuesday nights at this club and whatnot. He really just drank up a storm from his Southern Miss days to the Atlanta days to Green Bay. In the Green Bay media, it's interesting. He sounds so sloppy about his womanizing and his drinking, and there's only so many places to drink in that town, and everybody's got a Brett Favre drinking story. And the Green Bay media was, from the way I understand it in the book, virtually silent on any of this.
Yeah. I got to say, it's always interesting coming from New York, learning about the different philosophies of different media towns, you know, and Green Bay, I mean, you're right. You're either going to Madison, Appleton, or Green Bay. That's where the partying was going on, or maybe Chicago every now and then, or Milwaukee. But everyone had a story. And most of these reporters knew about it. But I think generally in Green Bay, the philosophy was, first of all, it doesn't do reporters in that market much good to tear down their superstar. You know, the philosophy with that team is so weird. I mean, the people in that town consider it their team, not just the team that they enjoy, but their team. I mean, it's a publicly owned team. Mm-hmm. So
everybody's
the general take is, the general take is, but it's all kind of, to be honest with you, it feels a little forced. Like, I just think they're not really the owners of the team. Like, they have these certificates and they own a share of it, just like I own a share of Apple, but I'm not really an owner. I mean, I have a stock, you know, it's almost like a little bit of a gimmick, but it works. And the reporters in Green Bay, the basic philosophy is if this isn't impacting him as a football player, we're not going to touch it.
Hmm. And the Packers would punish them if they did. They'd lose some access, so it's not worth it.
Well,
to
they never
that.
Did, but the threat was definitely there, and the idea was definitely there. You don't want to write this.
And those PR guys aren't the most helpful guys either.
No, that's the worst team. Of the books I've written, of the articles I've written over the years, by far the worst team I've dealt with.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's been gone, you know, for quite a while, the end of his career and years since then. You know, the whole Vicodin thing was really interesting. First of all, the fact that his career absolutely flourishes. I mean, he comes into his own when he is truly addicted to that drug, and a pretty strong drug at that. And then the way he took it, you know, 15 pills at once at night, I couldn't help but think, do you know, or was he doing it during the day? It seems like he had to be.
He was, and
but not 15 at a time.
Right. Well, he had moments of 12, 13, wow. 15. He went to the ESPYs one time with Deanna and excuses himself to go to the bathroom, doesn't come back for an hour, and he comes back all wobbly. And she's like, where were you? And he's like, well, did you take some Vicodin? Well, maybe. How many? 15. 15? And he would throw up the Vicodin. He would throw up sometimes from the Vicodin, and then he would pick out of the vomit puddle the undigested pills and retake them. I mean, it was a serious addiction issue. And
15 at once, though, that's amazing.
Yeah, crazy.
Tolerance.
But I actually think you said something that's really interesting and not that many people touch on, which is true, is that most guys So they become addicts, and at the height of their addiction, they're at their worst. And you're like, man, that guy had a bad year. And then you look back and say, oh, now I get it. He's the exact, like, usually he's the exact opposite. He was at his absolute elite when he was hopped up on Vicodin.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, the feeling of invincibility, I'm sure, and that kind of led him to be even more of a gunslinger.
Yeah, yep. The game seemed to come to him at that in that particular year. Everything came together. So,
that's why I wonder if he found a new dealer when he got to Minnesota. His first year.
I don't think so.
No, I'm joking, clean. But he was so good was then, clean. Too.
Yeah.
That game against the Raiders when his dad passed away is, a game I remember. And, he was like on another plateau that game. I mean, him and his dad were real tight. His dad obviously stepped out on his mom as well. So it's kind of like father like son almost.
Yeah. It's funny. I found in the effort to speak to everyone, I found the priest who he was with in the hotel the night before. So he was debating whether to play, and he kind of decided not to play. And then he met with this priest and sat with him for a long, long time and, ultimately decided to play. And then he decided to address the team. They were having a meeting that he was going to skip, and he went. And there was this point. It was really poignant. I have to say, like, of all the things he did, him standing there before his team crying and telling them, he was going to play this game because he loved them and because he loved his dad. And a really funny thing that I like is after the game was a Monday Night Football game.
Yep.
And at the time, Lisa Guerrero was the sideline reporter for Monday Night Football. It was her only year as the Monday Night Football sideline reporter. And during the game, the Packers PR staff told her she wouldn't get bread afterwards. There's no chance. You're not getting them. So it's late in the fourth quarter, and, she's on the sidelines, and Favre is over getting Gatorade, and she just walks over and she says, Brett, do you think I can get you for 2 minutes after the game? And he says, yeah, okay. And she says, you promise? He goes, yeah, I promise. And the Packer PR staff was livid with her. But it ended up being, if you see it on YouTube, one of the most poignant interviews you actually ever seen.
It was great. Favre.
Wow.
Big deal if they were mad anyway. They weren't going to give you anything anyway. That's the way to operate.
Hey, the book's called Gunslinger, and we're talking to Jeff Perlman. He's got so many previous books. We talked about the Cowboys book and the Mets book and Showtime and coming up.
I love that Laker book.
I did. I love Showtime. So many things. It's just a real interesting period.
Sweetness, Boys Will Be Boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boys Will Be Boys. God, that's a fun
book. My favorite,
book.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the 1 year of Brett Favre's career that I thought was so strange, and I just didn't know much about it. It just seemed like everything, following from afar. Well, they were in our division, but, he came to Green Bay and slowly but surely becomes this wonderful quarterback, has this great career, MVP three times and all that. But I really missed the Atlanta year, and he seems so not to care. It's almost like he's Johnny Manziel. He's going to throw it all away. And a lot of people were kind of giving up on him. And I think Atlanta thought they stole him, or they stole a first-round draft pick when they traded him to Green Bay. What happened in that year in Atlanta? Isn't that year unusual for him, just the way he behaved?
Yeah, well, he was Manziel or Marinovich, those kind of guys. Uh-huh. He really was. It's funny. People, whenever you see, like, on the NFL Network, they do, like, top five worst trades in NFL history. That one's always on it. And it's kind of unfair.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have survived in Atlanta. It wouldn't have worked. I mean, circumstances matter. He basically he was going to be the backup to Chris Miller that year, and Ken Herrick, the general manager, wanted him, and Jerry Glanville, the coach, wanted him to draft Browning Nagel, and they had this argument right up until the time to pick Nagel or Favre, and finally Kenny Herrick, the general manager, had priority, and he said, "We're taking Favre." And Favre shows up, and he's going to be the backup to Chris Miller, and Glanville can't stand him from the very beginning. And they make a trade early on for Billy Joe Tolliver. Oh. Suddenly, Favre is a third-string quarterback behind Miller and Tolliver. And he just seizes this invitation to get fat and drunk. And he spends a year getting fat and drunk. And Glanville told me he would go to some of the Atlanta bars that he knew Favre was frequenting, tell him not to go, not to serve the quarterback. And they were basically like, yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Goodbye. So, he missed the team's picture. He showed up in meetings drunk. He was just a complete and total mess. And at the end of the year, Glanville said, you got to trade this guy. And Herrick said, well, maybe I can get a second for him. But Glanville's like, if you can get a second round pick for this guy, you're a genius. And he ended up getting one of the Packers' two first round picks.
Wow.
And then Browning Nagel goes and ruins my life with the Jets.
I grew up a Jet fan. I had bad memories of Nagel. Good old number 8.
Oh, yeah, baby.
What did Glanville have to say about Favre pulling it all together in Green Bay? That must have just shocked the hell out of him.
It did. Thing about Glanville is, I met with one of the owners of the Falcons, and he's like, you can definitely believe 30% of what Glanville tells you. So there's a little bit of like, you don't quite know. You know, I'm happy for him. It really worked out for him. He's a good kid. I always liked him. That was the thing. I always liked him. It's like, no, you didn't. You hated this guy. Like, you couldn't. You basically devoted part of your time that year to making his life miserable and making him look like a fool. But you really, he only called him, he would call him Mississippi. He never called him Brett or Favre. He called him Mississippi. And they'd go to visit when they were on the road. He would have Favre come out in the middle of the field during pregame, and he would bet guys if Favre could reach the upper deck throwing a football.
Oh,
so it basically
yeah.
became like this carnival act for Jerry Glanville.
Wow. And he could. Generally, couldn't he?
He could. Yes, he could.
Is there a stronger arm than Brett Favre? I mean, the many people who talk about his arm strength, it really sounds quite impressive. I mean, clearly, he can throw the ball 80 yards. Is there a better arm? Has there been a better arm?
You know, there have been some. I mean, there's never been a better arm at that caliber. You know, like, you hear, like, Vince Evans had a great arm. Burt Jones had a great arm. Steve Barkowski had a great arm.
Dan Marino.
Nobody, like, at that. Dan Marino had a great arm. Doug Williams had a great arm. But no one, like. No one at that. Well, I guess you can make the argument Marino, but I don't think Marino had Favre's arm. To be honest with you, some would say Elway actually had a stronger arm than Marino, but I don't think no one that great has had Favre's arm strength.
The velocity certainly was impressive.
He was on another plateau.
Some of the other off field accomplishments of Brett Favre is being in Something About Mary, which he basically had a 5-minute cameo in.
Yeah.
But there's some great stories surrounding that. And if you could explain, he was the third choice by the Farrelly brothers for that movie, correct?
Yeah, it's awesome. So the first choice was Drew Bledsoe. Oh. It's kind of weird in hindsight, but wow. It was Bledsoe. And yeah.
Vanilla.
He was with the Patriots. He was a star at the time. People forget Bledsoe was a really good quarterback. And he was in a – they were supposed to start filming in a few weeks. And he and some of his teammates were at a concert. It wasn't Third Eye Blind. It was one of those bands. And they were stage diving, and he stage dived into a spectator, and she ended up suing him. And when that happened, he wanted to kind of stay out of the spotlight, so he decided not to do the movie. Then they offered it to Steve Young, and they sent Steve Young the script, and Steve Young loved the script, but he's like, I don't know, I am a Mormon, and this is not going to go over well. So that's how Favre got it. And my favorite thing about Something About Mary is, so Favre, he was so terrible in it, but it's kind of joyful how terrible he is. And he's in the locker room one day, and teammates are just ragging him. And one guy's like, God, Brett, you sucked in that movie. And Favre goes, let me ask you a question. How many movies have you sucked in? That's the best line ever.
But there's some other parts to that, too, because you wrote that he had another small role in a Reggie White movie, and I had never, ever heard of Reggie's Prayer.
Oh, yeah. With, MC Hammer, Pat Morita, and what's the guy's name? Rosie Greer.
Rosie Greer.
Oh, in that movie.
Have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it. It's really a gem. Oh. I think you guys would enjoy it. It's on. It's available. I'm not joking. It's available on Netflix. It's free.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna search on that.
Reggie.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said Mr. Miyagi's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi's in it. Hammer's in it. Great.
And Favre plays a janitor. The other funny story is I found it kind of charming that when Something About Mary comes out, a lot of members of his family pack the theater. I mean, he's a superstar this time. He'd won a Super Bowl. He'd been MVP. But because he has a small role in a movie, they all show up to the theater, and people heckle Brett.
Yeah, and they loved it. Because his family is the best, by the way. Like, the best. They're the most joyful, interesting
they sound cool.
people I've come across. They're just great. And they're like, they're not dummies. Like, people paint like, oh, the South and blah. They're like educated, open-minded, good people who just really know how to have a fun time. I can't say a bad word about that family.
One thing I learned about Brett Favre, I just didn't know that much about his career at Southern Miss. So it was fun to read about his career down there and all those huge upsets he pulled off, beating Alabama and Auburn in one season, almost beat Georgia the same year, beat Florida State when they were ranked 6th to open, I think, his junior year. I think he could have had a better career if he'd been a little more focused, but, really pulled some stuff off there.
Yeah, to me, the really good one is the Alabama. It's amazing to me.
Oh,
I mean, I didn't know about it. But it's amazing that more people don't know when we talk about, the way people talk about whatever the Vince Young, Matt Leinart game, I feel like that Alabama game is, I mean, that was a national championship game, but the Alabama game is so amazing. He, it was after his car accident, heading into his senior year. At first they thought he wasn't going to play all year. Then they thought he'd probably miss half the season. He missed their opening game and they only beat Delta State 12-0, a Division II school. So he decided he's coming back. He's going to play his first game. Alabama, they find out on a Thursday he's going to play. It's at Legion Field. It's Alabama's opener. It's Gene Stallings' first game as a head coach at Alabama. And Favre comes back, and somehow he's 30 pounds underweight, and somehow he leads Alabama. He leads Southern Miss to a 27-24 win at Alabama. It's one of the most amazing, and there are a lot of little details in that thing, that it's just the most amazing college football game I've ever heard of.
How did he wind up in Southern Miss? Who passed up on him?
Everybody.
Everybody. Yeah. He, because he didn't play, he never threw in high school, so nobody knew about him. So, you know, his dad was a run-first coach. He had a pretty good halfback named Charles Burton, so they never threw the ball. So he's completely unrecruited, and what happens is, Southern Miss hires a new assistant coach named Mark McHale. And this is during Favre's senior year of high school. And he's late. He's given the Gulf Coast of Mississippi as his recruiting territory, but he's late to the game and he knows nothing about the territory. So most of the big players have signed already. And he starts asking around if anyone knows any maybe hidden gems. And someone says, well, there's this quarterback at Hancock North Central, but he never throws the ball. But he's big and he seems to have a really good arm. So this guy goes to look. Irv Favre is Brett's head coach. His dad's his head coach. He's thrilled that someone's coming. Guy goes to the game to watch Brett. Brett throws four times. He's like, I can't recruit your son. He goes, come back next week. I'll have him throw. Goes back the next week. He throws five times. So, like, the dad can't get out of his own way. But he sees Brett make throwing on the sideline, and then also making the throws he did make during the game were just his bullets. And he begs the head coach of Southern Miss, Jim Carmody. He's like, we just have to take this guy. And he convinces him he can always play safety. So he basically is signed as a safety/quarterback, is the fifth quarterback on the roster.
Wow.
And they're playing Tulane first game of the season, and second game of the season, and they're getting killed, and they put him in a halftime, and he leads a comeback, and that's where it all starts.
Look at that.
And they thought that was going to be a disaster, too. Some of the guys said, that you can't put him in. Are you crazy?
Well, he drank a case and a half of Schlitz with his roommate the night before the game, and he's vomiting along the sideline before the game. It's awesome.
Aaron Rodgers just got knocked out of the playoffs, and he had some run, and him and Favre together, you know, he called Favre grandpa when he got there out of Cal, mm-hmm. and they really didn't get off on the right foot. And
well, are you surprised they didn't get off on the right foot? Is that because of the positions they were in or the characters of the men?
I think a little of both. I mean, you know, it's not as uncommon as people think. I mean, Jerry Rice was never so great to young receivers. Dan Marino was not very good to other, you know, like Walter Payton, who I wrote a book about, when they drafted Neil Anderson, Walter Payton would do nothing for Neil Anderson. I mean, it's sort of a common trait among great, great athletes that they really don't want to help their replacements take their jobs. So you had that. Favre was in his 30s. Rodgers was 21. He was very cocky. He showed up and he annoyed a lot of guys with his little antics, you know, would do this sort of fist bumpy type thing when he made a good play in practice. The whistles would blow. He would continue plays, you know, stupid little things.
Yeah.
And then he calls Favre grandpa, you know, over breakfast one day. And it's just a weird, Favre didn't want to be replaced. This is the first time they ever drafted anyone to be his replacement. Rodgers wanted to play, thought he should play sooner than later. So it was an awkward, two totally different guys, too, completely different human beings.
Who do you think has a better legacy in Green Bay? And I know Rodgers is still going, but what an amazing run.
That's a good question. I mean, I think Rodgers will go down as the better quarterback, and I think Favre will go down as a more beloved quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree. Maz, you want to ask your question about the...
I do. I know you're working on your next project, and you're well into it. It's coming out next year. It's a book on the USFL, and the USFL is like near and dear to my heart. Matter of fact, I think I sent you a few of my artifacts. Tell us a little about the USFL. We had our Michigan Panthers here, who I think led the league in attendance back in the day, back in 82, 83.
83.
Yeah.
Well, I love the USFL. In fact, I wrote the Favre book so I could get a USFL deal. Nobody would give me a USFL deal. And so I made a two-book deal. I just think it's the greatest, it's the craziest league ever. You know, it's just there are a million just nut job, insane stories. You know, you're talking about the 80s, so you have the drugs, and you have the sort of livelihoods, and you have these teams moving all over the place, and huge names, and you have Trump come along.
Yeah, there he is.
How hard is it to write a USFL book and not focus, especially today, on Donald Trump and what he did to the league?
Well, I mean, he's obviously a player in the book.
Yeah.
Because he kind of ruined the league.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
No question.
Funny. I kept thinking during the election, I understand because it was 30 years ago, I kept waiting for like the Clinton campaign to release some like mini movie about Trump and the USFL. Because I really think there is, you could, whether you like Trump or not, right, there are parallels here, which is he comes along, he buys the Generals, and he says he says he loves the USFL, this is a great league, blah, 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 it's great, everything's going to be great, this is amazing. He gets the team, then he tells everyone, yeah, I don't think we should be playing in the spring. We need to move to fall. Now, he never said that before he bought the team. He only said that once he got the team. Then he basically, like, shoves the commissioner aside, starts giving anonymous quotes to the newspaper, talking about how the league really wants to move to the fall and blah, blah, blah. Guy starts following him because he's loud and he promises all these things. And before you know it, the league is dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons Alfred Taubman got rid of the Panthers, because he wasn't going to compete with the Lions. Right.
How long?
Yeah, they merged. Trivia. Yeah. Trivia. Who did they merge with?
Oakland
and the Invaders.
Yeah, the Oakland Invaders.
Yep.
Yeah, Bobby Hebert and Anthony Carter.
And they played against the Stars in the finale at the Meadowlands, which I was at.
This is not to defend Trump at all, but how long could that league have gone? Could it have become a viable financial source of income?
So here's what I think. I think one of two things. Either it would have survived as a spring league. The problem is, like, these guys just started spending so much money. Mm-hmm. I think more likely is you would have had a merger eventually. I think they did a lot of dumb things. Like Trump ended up, one thing he did is he basically took over the lawsuit and insisted the suit be held in New York. And there was no sympathy for the USFL in New York because of Trump. They did it. If they filed it in a different location, they would have had a much better chance. They also hired the worst attorney imaginable for this sort of thing, this guy Harvey Meyerson. They called none of the players to testify. They called none of the owners to testify. The only owner who testified was Trump. It was just a crazy approach to sort of this kind of thing.
And the USFL won the suit.
They only got a dollar.
Yeah, they won a damn suit.
$3.
They won a dollar. But it was a joke. What the jury basically decided is, yes, the NFL has colluded against you, but you guys are so screwed up that you can't even help yourself. They basically said, like, you screwed this up. So, yeah, the NFL did this, but it wouldn't have mattered because you guys can't figure out what you're doing.
Well, Donald Trump likes to say, too, that, you know, the TV ratings weren't that good and attendance weren't that good. And, you know,
love spring football.
People always point to the L.A. Coliseum because it looked empty during the greatest game no one saw. So what's the reality there? Was attendance bad? Were TV ratings bad?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's a self-fulfilling. Well, first of all, it's like any new league, right? Like, you had markets there where it was working, markets where it was not working. L.A. was a disaster. It never made sense. They played in 97,000 stadium. The Coliseum.
It's still a disaster. The NFL is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Chargers figured it out, but not the Rams.
But if you look, I mean, Jacksonville was drawing 40-plus every game.
Yep,
Birmingham
Bulls
was drawing 35-plus. Memphis was drawing huge crowds. So it was sort of about figuring out what markets worked. Now, the thing that Trump did that made it a self-fulfilled prophecy is once they announced before the 85 season that they were moving to the fall, a lot of fans were like, well, to hell with this. You know, like, Houston drew great in 84, but they knew they weren't going to have a team after 85 because you weren't going to be able to have the Oilers and the Gamblers in the same town. So he's like, look, attendance dropped off. And it's like, yeah, it dropped off because you came up with a stupid idea to challenge the NFL.
The Gamblers were so exciting with Jim Kelly and that run and shoot.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, you know, they had four NFL receivers on that team.
And they were going to merge with the Generals. They were going to merge with the Generals and become the superpower.
Yeah. Was Mouse Davis there, or was he elsewhere?
Mouse Davis was there. June Jones was there.
Yeah, because they all came to the Lions.
Who were the four receivers?
They had the Smurfs.
So they had Richard Johnson, who ended up with the Lions.
Yeah.
They had Gerald McNeil, They had Clarence Verdan, and they had Ricky Sanders.
All little guys.
Redskins.
Wow.
All little guys. Yep. Two of them were running. Richard Johnson and Ricky Sanders were running backs in college.
Jeff, does the WFL interest you at all? Will there be a chapter on the WFL?
No. I mean, it's not that it doesn't, but I'm so hyper-focused. I mean, this is how big a loser I am, so I'm working on the book today. I literally have the media guides for the Boston Breakers, the New Orleans Breakers, and the Portland Breakers all in front of me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Johnny Walton is the first quarterback there for Boston.
Oh, yeah. Love Johnny Walton.
Maz is not a USFL interview.
I want to do USFL trivia with you, Jeff, one day.
Hey, you would bring it, man.
All right.
You don't get to way went to the
too
draft.
Many guys to do that with.
Well, how many people went to that draft?
That's why Jeff actually
that's the dumbest thing
Maz attended the draft.
When Jeff found out I actually got to call him and do like a little interview with him. I was so excited.
You're gonna be in the
told
book
him about the Ambassador Hotel and how I met the Larry Zonka and all these old NFL players, and they had a great continental breakfast, by the way. That's it.
I wish I were there.
You should have been there.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much. Really enjoying Gunslinger. I'm not done, but I'm going to keep reading because I'm really enjoying it.
And keep writing the books. So we love all the books.
Thanks, Jeff.
All of them.
Yeah, let's know when USFL is done. We want that one, too, for sure.
Yeah.
And thank your wife for trading off with you today, all right?
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Good.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I didn't want to let him go.
Jeff Perlman, Gunslinger.
I defy anyone that wants to do USFL trivia.
No one wants to. One USFL question.
I can't help myself.
You know, it's very smart of Tom to really get involved in something that only lasted a few years because they're never going to add new stuff to it.
That's true.
I mean, you can get all the trivia.
Very few experts on it.
Yeah, it's like knowing everything about Seinfeld. There's never going to be more Seinfeld or Batman.
I loved the league. I loved hearing Keith Jackson do the play-by-play with Lynn Swann. And you know what?
With Lynn Swann. No one has ever said that.
I love football so much that I want to watch it all year. I do. And it worked.
I think
it worked.
Call me nuts, but I still think a spring league could work.
It works, Mark.
I don't know. I didn't like it. I just didn't.
Oh,
really?
My God, man.
Well, there were a few players that were interesting to me. But
there was so many great players
Drew. Where did you live then? Were you in Carolina?
I was in... what year was the first year?
83, 83.
I was in Blacksburg, actually. I was still there. Yeah, I was in Virginia.
So was there a team you followed?
No, there was no Virginia team.
No, but when it was on TV, of course, we're like, oh, my God, football in the spring. Yeah. And we started watching it, but it was just, you know, Herschel Walker. I would watch where Herschel Walker was interested whenever he was playing.
How about Reggie White?
Doug Flutie was the quarterback for the Generals, wasn't he, the second year?
Yeah, and Brian Sipe.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to Michigan Panthers games, and those were exciting as hell. And I was a little kid.
I was
excited for those as I was Lions.
They put 60,000 in the stands at the Silver Dome.
I was a kid when the WFL was going to the Chicago Fire, and I was very interested in the Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
And they had some old Bears cast-offs.
Do you remember the team that took the big three from the Dolphins?
The Memphis Showboats,
No, they were the Memphis Southmen.
Oh,
the Showboats of the USFL.
Okay.
But they took Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, and Paul Warfield.
Jim Kick. All right.
Jim Kick.
Jim Kick. I never thought I thought Jim Kick, with the whole Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, was way overrated to me. Jim Kick just, he averaged like
over
3 yards
a
carry.
1,000 yards one year.
No,
three
he did
of them.
Not.
Yeah, the three Jim of Kick. Them.
Oh, time out.
Go ahead.
I'm looking them up. I want to get off sports quick, though.
I know, you hate sports. I forgot.
No, I don't hate sports. It's not a sports show.
I know, but you hate sports.
No, I don't.
What's wrong with sports? As being
it's not the topic of our show.
But why can't it be part of the show?
Did Tom?
It just was. I want to get off it and move on.
Did Tom sell you squares?
Yes.
He's such a good salesman.
Jay got some and Mark got some.
He didn't tell me what the charity was. He just told me it was for charity.
Oh, really?
I did tell you what the charity
after
was.
After I asked you, you did.
It was my kids.
Tom's kids.
Yeah, after, the charity, after I
Tom's
asked.
Kids. Raising money for Tom's kids.
Yes.
That's not nice.
Well, it's true.
It's for their team.
Did you pick a number or did he just give you one?
No, he picked.
Oh, he did. Okay. What did he pick? What number did he pick?
See what number he's got. He's got number 16.
Jim Kick's highest rushing total, 738 yards.
Total yards in that year?
In that year? He had 738 rushing, 338
there you
receiving.
Go, over 1,000.
But that's not, you didn't say combined yards.
Okay, sorry. But I said over 1,000 yards. I didn't say running.
I'm not into anything with sports.
There you go.
All right.
Is that the lady from Hawaii?
Oh. Yeah, the 94-year-old online
sweet.
Grad, Amy.
Ames?
Ames.
Yeah, she was a piece of work.
Hmm?
Every
I
course.
I can't hear.
Every course online. Ace Frehley says this might be the year he rejoins Kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I thought drugs and alcohol. He abused drugs and alcohol.
Well, that's the danger to the brand. Take Ace and Peter Kiss. If they have risked the brand of Kiss and the future of Kiss by taking drugs and alcohol and risking their life, they're lucky to be above ground.
But, Gene, what if you get clean?
How long will he stay clean? So we don't know. He has a history of falling off the wagon. And I don't know if the brand can take a chance like that.
It's the brand.
It's funny. It's not about the music. It's about
really
the
do
brand.
A good brand. You do a great Gene.
It's my favorite impersonation.
It's easy to lose. I don't know why. But Gene, it's easy to be in his head, though. It's like, if you think about him.
Well, yeah, it's all about the brand. And,
yeah.
And
he would have been a great
money.
USFL owner, by the way.
He was a terrible
he was an owner. He owned that stupid team in the
what was it called? The Arena League.
The LA
Kiss.
LA
Kiss.
Coach
what else?
Bob.
They were supposed to add to the Kiss brand. But they did. They lost, what, they were 2-14 or something?
Yeah.
They were terrible.
But they sold out one of the Kiss concerts because if you bought season tickets. Or no, if you bought a concerts to the Kiss show, you had to buy season tickets.
It was so stupid. Hey, I was just reading about, this is blowing my mind. Vinyl on track to be a $1 billion industry in 2017. How can vinyl come back like that?
It's slowly but surely coming back. I see it all over the place.
Remember berries? I remember.
Are you, what's that?
Just the nostalgia.
Oh. Are you buying vinyl?
No, I don't have a record player anymore. I do have a little, close and play.
A close and play. Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, they are. I still have my 45s.
It must be people that have vinyl are just really into it, so they buy just a ton of it.
They say it sounds so much better.
Well,
Drew feels that way.
I think vinyl does sound good.
Was there anything better than buying a record? Is there anything better than putting your hands on a record?
I liked it, but you know what? So. I never liked the fact that I had to be so careful with records because I just wasn't. That wasn't in my nature.
You put your fingerprints all over it?
Yeah, and I just.
That's the best thing about a CD. You could chuck them across
the room. That's why I love CDs.
And then just go.
Did you have an 8-track player? Did you have an 8-track?
Yeah, I had an 8-track player.
Those
were horrible.
So bad.
That was the worst.
How about the way it used to start? You put it in there. To...
What about clicking in the middle of a track? Yes. Just in the middle of a song, clunk, clunk, you know, and then the song continues. That was such a flaw.
I had one of my 74 Coupe de Ville, my first car ever.
A Coupe de Ville was your first car?
I had a 74 Coupe de Ville.
What year did you buy it?
I bought it in 80. 80?
That's only 6 years old. How much did you pay for it?
I think I paid $1,500.
Really? It had a lot of miles?
Yeah. It had over 100,000 on it.
Oh, okay.
It was big and brown. It had the pleather seats.
Yeah, those things were sweet on the inside.
My friends would slide from one end all the way to the other when I would make a turn. It was a great car.
The Oscars nominations.
100 gallons to the mile, by the way.
100 gallons.
100 gallons to the mile. Yeah, that sounds about right. The Oscar nominations today?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those movies.
I haven't seen, you know, this is funny. I notice every year, and I thought for a long time, you know what, it must be getting old. People just don't go to as many movies. I've talked to a lot of people who say, oh, you know what, I didn't even know that movie was out.
Yeah.
I used to feel like I'd seen a majority of the movies that had nominations. But
well, for Best Picture, the only one that I think did well, didn't Arrival do really well? That's the Amy Adams space movie.
Which she was alleged to be nominated for, but she wasn't.
That was so funny.
They had her down. They had Tom Hanks down, too, for Sully.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how could he possibly be nominated for Sully? He must have been going, oh, that's got to be a mistake. There's no way. I was not that good.
Well, it's somebody playing a real person. They get off on that.
I was watching Inferno last night, the new Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, I don't know that one.
He's in Rome. It's sort of like, what was the last one he did in Rome?
Where he was the genius. Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, right. It seems like it's a play on that or it's a continuation of that. I don't remember that
Dan
movie.
Dan Brown book or whatever, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. He's a professor. And
yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be the same
thing. Yeah, it's really interesting. I got about 50 minutes in last night and fell asleep, and I knew I was going to, so I was fired up to watch the rest of it tonight.
I'll give you all the winners. La La Land.
La La Land.
Actor will be Ryan Gosling.
Or La La Land.
Yeah.
I know Casey Affleck's getting a lot of
Yeah, he gets a lot of play.
I got to tell you, Jeff Bridges, I loved him in Hell or High Water. That's like the only movie I saw that I liked this year, that I really liked, and I thought he was fantastic. And I heard other people saying they were predicting him, including your friend.
Yeah, my buddy the B-Man, who rated 157 movies this year.
I'm really surprised. There's a lot of talk about Deadpool, which was a great movie, a lot of, you know, fun movie. But there was some talk about putting that up for picture because it did huge box office numbers, and yet isn't
who was
that,
in
why,
that one?
Huh? That's Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, when they expanded the Best Picture, the idea was, oh, we can put movies in that people have actually seen. But
right.
That lasted for like 2 years. Arrival, by the way, did 163 million. So a lot of people saw Arrival.
So it has nine pictures, right? Nine of them. I'm counting
for Best Picture.
Yeah.
For yep.
Best Picture.
Mm-hmm. Is Lion good? It's I mean, there's a lot of nominations for Lion.
It's a real story.
About a kid who loses his parents, right?
Well, he gets lost. He falls asleep at a train station in India.
So scary.
He falls asleep on a train and then ends up just...
What happens to his parents?
They can't find him.
They don't know where he went because he went to the train station with his brother. This is a real story. The guy was on 60 Minutes. So his brother ended up dying at that night, but he falls asleep on a train, ends up... He doesn't know where. Goes to an orphanage. An Australian couple adopts
what?
Him. Grows up in Australia, has a great life in Australia, but still wonders, like, is my family alive? He didn't know his brother had died, but where's my mom?
Did he remember falling asleep in the train?
Yeah, he knew. So he knew, and he knew about how long he was asleep. So he went on Google Earth because he remembered a water tower and a pedestrian bridge by a train station.
How old was he?
At this point, I think he was in his 20s or
30s. Dev Patel now?
Wait, he fell asleep on the train in his 20s?
No, he's five. I'm sorry. He was five. I thought you meant when he was looking at Google Earth.
It's like, yeah, this guy wasn't very resourceful.
So Dev Patel? As the kid becomes Dev Patel?
Yeah, he's the old. Okay. He's the older guy. So as he gets older, then he knows these two things that he can remember, water tower, pedestrian bridge. So he went on Google Earth and couldn't find it, kept searching, couldn't find it because he started like with a perimeter and just checked every train station with that perimeter, could not find it. So he decided to expand it a little further. He's like, well, maybe my timeline's off. And actually found it and went back to the city and met his mom. And
unreal.
So oh, my
Yeah, it's a, God. It's a wild
lying,
story.
Right? Lying.
But now you don't need to see the movie because I just told you the story.
It seems like his parents didn't fight very hard to find him.
I don't think they had quite the resources.
You lose a kid. Don't they have any media over there?
I don't know if he was from the right caste system.
I see. Oh, was he in the Undesirables?
Very
right?
poor, yeah.
Yeah.
This actress, we got
the Undesirables?
I think so.
And they're, they pick up dead animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman, it says Jackie. Is that Jackie O?
Yeah.
A movie about Jackie O?
Yeah.
For some reason, I refuse to believe that's any good. And I almost refuse to believe she's any good.
You don't want to see a Jackie O movie?
No, I don't. I've seen enough Jackie O.
You've had it with her?
A fun
yeah, I've
fact.
Had it with her. I mean, she's overrated in real life anyway.
So sad.
How do you know that?
I'm not a fan of first ladies. We talked about this week. I hate first ladies. I'm sick of them.
Even
they get
Lady
talked
Bird
about
Johnson?
Too much. I don't care what they
no one
wear.
Cares about them.
They're just the president's wife to me. If they want to have a career of their own, that's fine. But, you know, don't talk about first ladies. I don't care.
Fun fact about Natalie Portman. I don't know if you read about this, but she was really trying to get into the role, so she grew out her bush for like 2 years. She
did.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Jackie O had a huge bush, Tom.
Did she have someone photograph her on an island?
Now, why would she show her bush in the movie?
Well, it's just to be in the role.
Jackie O got photographed. She got photographed by Larry Flint.
Oh, okay.
And she had a giant bush.
Just to be in character, too.
Got it.
So she could really feel it. So she could really feel that she was...
Okay. Sounds great.
Jake, you brought it up.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Mel Gibson got nominated as director.
Yeah.
I thought after those tapes, there was no way that guy was going to rally out of that crap.
I will be
thanks. He's rallied.
He's rallied.
He's
I know.
Rallied.
He just had a kid, too. He's 61. He's changing diapers tonight, as we speak, probably.
Yeah, right. Don't you hope he gets up there and thanks sweet tits?
Yeah, sugar tits.
Sugar tits, is that what it was?
Yeah, sugar tits.
Nobody uses that. I've never heard anybody
and
before
I never heard that
or
either.
After Mel Gibson use sugar tits.
Well, see, being drunk does give you some level of creativity you don't normally have.
It was what? The fact that you had foreign bodies in there?
Correct.
Foreign bodies?
Correct. Okay, good. So you're not lying to me about fake tits?
I've never had.
Yes. Yes, you just did. You said they weren't. You f***ing lied to me before.
What? I didn't. I never said anything of a kind. You never asked me, I never told you. Or maybe you asked me, but I never lied
Uh-oh.
About this.
Uh-oh.
Not a lie. Who cares? So, they look ridiculous. Get rid of them. Anyway,
serve their purpose.
You know. That's none of your f***ing business. What
it is. Whoa, it is. Whoa. They look stupid. I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a f***. You know, but they're too big and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas tight clothes and stuff. I won't stand for that anymore.
I don't walk around in tight clothes. I stay most of the time.
Public, and it's a embarrassment to me. You look like a bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of n***s, it'll be your fault. All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't want that.
That's why he's nominated for director. Look at that attention to detail, Drew.
I guess so. Oh, God. Is he still rolling?
I love you. I don't want you. Okay?
Okay.
Stay in the f***ing house. I'm not giving it to you, but I'll let you stay there. Okay? And I will take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore.
You make it's me pretty clear. Smoke!
I think that's pretty clear.
Yep, he came out pretty strong.
She was so baiting him. She so wanted that all on tape.
I don't think he needed too much baiting anyway, though.
No, not at all.
Do you see OJ's up again, too, for documentary? The OJ Made in America this time, which is the ESPN documentary.
The 20-hour one?
Yeah.
I heard OJ's all pissed that everyone's making money off me. Like it's his money they're stealing or something.
Or they're making
something
money.
Great that he did.
I think they're actually making money off of Nicole.
It's the greatest murders ever committed.
And we're showing called Nicole.
Is he still looking for the killer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't called Nicole Killed in America. It was OJ Made in America.
Anything else on the Oscars?
Tom's favorite song is up for original song.
It is?
What are the songs, by the way?
Justin Timberlake.
Thank God.
That song is so bad.
It's not
going
to win.
It's so terrible.
No, it's a great song.
He was pissed that he lost at the Golden Globes, by the way.
He should be pissed.
It's awful. You know that song, right?
What song? Is it the one you
Can't
played
stop
we
the
played last night?
Yeah.
That was the big summer song?
Dance, dance, dance.
I didn't really care for it that much.
It's a great song, Drew. It was a great summer song, too.
It knew a lot for me.
Then there's a song from Moana, which is the animated show.
My kids love that movie.
Great. A song from some other movie I've never heard of. Sorry.
So mean.
And then two songs from La La Land.
La La Land's going to win it all anyway.
Two songs. Man, what are you doing on your phone? I'm just asking.
I'm looking at the things. La La Land. I'm looking at all the
your denomination.
You mean
you have
La La
paper?
Land.
I don't use paper. I use my phone.
I don't use paper. Your squares. Like your squares were all on paper.
Well, that wasn't me. I didn't make them. The team made them.
Hey,
I would have given it to you right on the phone.
You mean the team behind Tom's Kids?
Exactly, Tom's Kids team.
Who's favored to win the best song?
Probably La La Land.
Right. La La Land. Just like Chicago, how many years ago? They swept. It's going to be one of those boring Oscars again.
Is there an artist that I would know?
No, I won't watch Chicago. It's a musical.
You just know Timberlake. Well, I think, though, La La Land, Gosling and Emma Stone sang it, so.
Oh, God.
It's La La Land by Justin Hurwitz.
Yeah, he's the writer of the
Jackie
movie.
Has a song. Moonlight has a song. Lion has a song. Passengers has a song.
Okay. Janelle from Teen Mom had her third child.
Oh, that's so great. Nice. Which husband is this?
This is this is the third child she's had out of wedlock with three different unemployed men. Every one of them has been unemployed at conception and birth.
She's got a type.
At least she sticks with it.
She does.
She knows what she likes.
Exactly. I mean, that's really. I wonder how many people could say that. I have three kids by three out of wedlock men, and all three of them were unemployed at conception and birth. I mean, that's really impressive. The new guy has not had a job the whole time she's been with him. He's also was stalking his previous girlfriend
and had
an assault charge against – or she had an assault charge against him. Then there was Kaiser, who never worked. He had three DUIs in 1 year.
No, Kaiser's the kid.
Oh, right. Kaiser's the kid. Nathan, that's right. Nathan is the asshole.
Total
he never
loser.
Worked. And the one before that was the kid in high school who couldn't get a job at McDonald's because he said he was overqualified.
Yeah.
He was a model.
Yeah. Kiefer?
No,
oh, no,
not Kiefer. He's before Keither. This guy was the biggest loser.
He did go. Didn't he go to Japan to be a model?
I think before he
Jason?
Knew her, he did.
Yeah.
No, I said, oh, God, what was his name? Oh, is he a loser?
Honestly, I never thought I would say this, but she should have just stuck with Kiefer.
He might have come around by now. She had a lot of fun with him.
I thought of you, though. I don't know. Did you see the picture she or her baby, third baby daddy put on Instagram of her pregnant?
Oh, yeah.
And I thought of you, not only because it's Janelle, but the tattoos.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Did she add some tattoos?
Well, they just expand when you get, you know, when you're
they look ridiculous.
9 months
pregnant. By the way, Paris Jackson has 50 tattoos.
50?
50. I think he said more than 50. The Rolling Stone article came out today.
Yeah.
She considers herself black. She says she is Michael Jackson's biological child, yeah. And she is black.
Sure, her dad was black.
She has the straightest hair, the whitest face, the bluest eyes. That child is not black. I'm sorry. Debbie Rowe's kid, and she's probably the dermatologist's kid.
Debbie Rowe had strong genes, and she just overpowered Michael's genes. At least with skin tone and eye color.
Now she's tried to kill
that
herself.
That baby's ugly.
No way. She would at least be a little dark complexion.
Sure,
a
of
little.
Course.
She compares herself to, was it Wentworth? He's an actor. And I immediately looked him up. I didn't even know who he was. I'm like, okay, who is she? And this, because this kid has a black father and a white mother. He's dark complexed and he has very wavy hair.
Really?
Her hair is straight.
Straight, yeah.
It's absolutely straight. She's not black.
Does he have blue eyes, that actor?
I don't know. I don't think so. These eyes are brown.
She would have been better off saying, look at Rachel Dolezal. She's black.
Who?
The lady that said she was black was
Seattle
NAACP.
She looks blacker than Paris Jackson.
She does look better.
She worked hard at it.
Yeah, she did. She
made an effort. Paris also said that Michael was murdered.
Yes.
And her evidence behind that was because he was talking about people out to get him all the time, and he said that, they're going to kill me. That's not evidence. That's evidence that he's a paranoid nut job.
She's such a moron. I could not believe Rolling Stone did a huge article on her. It's like, what? She's not his kid, first of all.
And if everybody in the family thinks that he was murdered, they're the prime suspects. Because who benefited more from his death than the estate? They made a killing out of his estate.
He was addicted to an anesthetic.
It's ridiculous.
A surgery anesthetic.
She's
propofol.
A moron, man. I kind of feel bad about how stupid she is.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you know, her mother's an idiot, so she has idiot genes. I'm surprised she isn't more of an idiot. Thankfully, the father's a dermatologist, so there should be something going on there.
She's got lots of money.
She has lots of money. She does. It's funny because she said that her boyfriend's a 26-year-old drummer for some nothing band, and she says they're a great band, of course. But anyway, he had a Confederate flag tattoo. When she met him, it didn't impress her family a lot.
Well,
so then,
yeah, she's black. That would bother her, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would bother a black child like Paris Jackson, of course. But anyway, he had it covered up. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was, I wonder who paid to have it covered up. And I wonder who pays to get the band's demos made and stuff like that. I mean, she's the perfect girlfriend for a 26-year-old going-nowhere musician, just like the guy that married Lisa Marie Presley, just like the guy that married Cobain.
Francis Bean Cobain, yeah.
Who is suing her for tons of money, by the way, because she promised to take care of his out-of-wedlock kid from someone else.
I'm just done.
And he will not give her Kurt's guitar back, which is worth $3 million.
Whoa.
Oh, for the unplugged guitar. How bummed are you that she has Paris Jackson as a John Lennon and David Bowie tattoo?
I know.
That's pretty cool.
What can you do?
Inside her lip, she has Motley, and her boyfriend has Crew.
Yeah, I'm sure they're getting married too. Oh
my you got to feel sorry
actually,
for
he might
her.
Marry.
Don't you feel a little sorry for her?
No. Why?
Not terrible.
What a life.
She loves her childhood. She loved every minute with Michael Jackson.
Sure.
She says she did.
She had to be covered up all the time. Sure. I'm sure kids wanted to go through life
everywhere.
That way.
She was raised by a child. I guess maybe I feel bad because she had such a bizarre upbringing, but she's not. She has no roots in reality now.
None.
Well, look at the way she grew up, man.
Zilch.
Fine, but she's an adult now. No. You would think some bit of reality setting.
She's
unfortunate.
She's probably not going to be around long.
She's lived with Katherine Jackson for quite a while. I don't think Joseph is part of her life. What is Jackson doing
Joe
now?
Joe sees Joe sees he sees that they have all the talent.
They have the Jackson genes, yes. He saw the talent in them. That was the funniest thing Joe Jackson's ever said.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
Her suicide attempt was with 20 Motrin pills.
You know, I saw that and I said, I don't know if I'd qualify that as a suicide attempt. I don't think I would really even.
If Brett Favre
could
take 15 Vicodins.
I don't even know if that makes a cry for help.
Favre got 15 Vicodins to her 20 Motrin.
Yeah, Favre.
Wow, what
daily. I mean, at a time. His tolerance had to be unbelievable.
And he picked them out of his vomit, the ones that weren't digested, to reuse them.
Wait a second. So, and this guy's band, her boyfriend?
Yeah.
They're not even a band. They're a percussion ensemble.
Yeah, boy.
Do they play in the street?
Possibly. There's some guys play outside of Tiger Stadium or a percussion ensemble.
I think that's the guy she's dating.
The guy outside Tiger
Eat
Stadium?
Eat 'em up, Tiger? Yeah. Eat 'em up, Tiger guy?
No, no.
They play in the like paint buckets. Containers on the bottom of paint containers.
She just put out.
Too. I hate them. I hate that people give them money because it encourages them to come back and make that stupid noise all the time.
I'm with you.
Isn't that annoying?
It is so annoying.
Oh, I hate it.
It sucks walking up to a Tiger game with between them and all the people that are asking for money.
This is her boyfriend's band.
Oh, they're going places.
Guy is basically playing a tackle box, like a fishing tackle box. They could open for Feldman. Can you see him opening for Corey Feldman?
Well, Paris could buy all the tickets and sell it out.
They are playing like plastic drums and stuff.
Doesn't sound that bad. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
It's pretty stupid.
I don't think
hear another one
going too far. Yeah, let me get Dr. Roshan first. And today in Rock coming up, and we talked about all the crazy things they're doing at Roche Cosmetic Surgery yesterday. We're talking about the stem cells and the G spot shot to give women these outrageous orgasms. I don't know if you heard about that, Maz.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're taking people's blood. They then take out the stem cells. I think they call them PCPs, and then they shoot them into the G spot, and women have these outrageous orgasms.
I thought the G spot was a mystery.
No,
wasn't it the mystery spot?
Not to Dr. Roche.
Okay,
apparently he's unsolved. He somehow solved the mystery. And of course, the hair removal that some people seem to find so important.
Thank
they do
God.
That.
He's doing God's work.
The Diva Inner and Outer, the outer cosmetic.
Oh, my.
That, some of the ladies.
She should hook up with Natalie Portman when she's done with the Oscars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Inner as well. And they combine all those for one low price. I think it was like $28.50. It's amazing. Don't quote me on that, though. But I was in there, and they're doing so many things now. The tattoo removal, too. That guy could have gotten his Confederate flag taken off at the offices of Dr. Roche. Yes, the tattoo could have come off in the offices of Dr. Roche. Paris could get all 50 of hers removed. She might have to make a few.
Why come you don't have a tattoo?
To make a few appointments. But, yeah, they would do that.
Hey, can Roche take off, like, a lip tattoo on the inside?
I think he can.
Oh, cool.
It's just a matter of, like, if you can suffer through it. Although, I mean, he took the tattoos off that guy's face. Remember that guy?
Yeah,
those horrible.
Looked like a beard outline.
It was brutal. It was so horrible. It was like, how could anyone do that to themselves? Well, he won the contest, the worst tattoo contest. Greg took the tattoos off, and the guy went out and got a real job.
Yeah, changed
his life.
Went
back to school. It turned his life around. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And, of course, summertime's coming up, and that's when people get outside and less clothing, and that's when people start thinking about breast implants. Dr. Roche is Southeast Michigan's premier double board certified cosmetic surgeon, offering the latest in surgical and non-surgical procedures in a relaxed and fully accredited surgical suite. If you want to fill out your top because you're small, or maybe you've had a few kids and you want to fix your boobs. The kids totaled them. The stupid kids totaled your boobs. No more padded bras. Dr. Roche has several different breast augmentation options for you to choose from. Saggy skin. He's got the surgical and non-surgical options. Liposuction, skin tight, verju to tighten you up for summer. Get rid of the age spots, sunspots, and body hair for the months ahead with the new Forever Young and Forever Bare BBL treatments. No one has more options and solutions for your conditions than Dr. Roche. Get your summer body now. Come meet Dr. Roche and his amazing staff. Call 248-338-1110 to schedule a consult. 248-338-1110 or visit their website, drroche.com, D-R-R-O-C-H-E. It's also a good time to be a buyer right now in today's market. Hall Financial. They are the premier lending specialist in client-first-focused mortgages. These are the guys we recommend to anyone looking to buy a home or to refinance and save money. With winter considered the slow season, sellers are more likely to negotiate, not to mention less competition. And the mild winter we're experiencing gives you the perfect time to get the home you want at a good price. Call Hall Financial to get your financing, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com. If you're not quite ready but want to shop come spring, get ahead of the competition by getting pre-approved. It's kind of silly when you're ready to make an offer on a home and it's all settled and, oh, I can't get the loan, duh.
I don't know
don't
if
do
I can
that.
Do it.
You will bum so many people out. You'll bum yourself out, too. Call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000 and find out your overall situation, what kind of down payment you'll need, and what kind of payment you also can you're capable of making. 248-308-5000 or DavidHallMortgage.com. And
this article on Paris Jackson is amazing.
I know. It never stops, isn't it? No. The writer was pissing me off, too, because he kept saying how believable she is. She says she's black, and he says, she's so believable. I mean, if you were talking to her, you'd believe her. It's like, no, I would not believe her.
I hope it's
I don't know why you believe her.
I like this part. Above an adjacent garage is a mini-museum to Michael. He created as a surprise gift for his family with the walls and even ceilings covered with photos from their history. Mike used to rehearse dance moves in that room. Now Ooh. Paris's boyfriend has his drum kit up there.
Oh, that's a such a perfect dick. Parallel.
What a dick.
I know. Get your drums out of there.
In his 2011 memoir, Michael's brother, Jermaine, called him an example of what fatherhood should be. He instilled in them the love mother gave us and provided the kind of emotional fathering that our father, through no fault of his own, could not.
My shoulder.
Michael was father and mother rolled into one. That comes right after the paragraph of Paris talking about how they would choose whether to go to the movie theater or go to the zoo or to ride rides on any given day.
If you ever read about what those kids were given by Michael, he's the worst parent. Yeah. It's just give, spoil, 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 spoil. Didn't they eat candy bars all day long?
Yeah. Michael gave the kids the option of going to regular school. The option. He didn't tell them, but he gave them the option. Of course, they declined.
Candy bars.
When you're at home, says Paris, your dad, who you love more than anything, would occasionally come in the middle of class. And it's like, cool, no more classes for the day.
Oh, isn't that great?
Go,
that's
hang
great
out
parenting.
With dad.
Super.
Well, it was good for like father-daughter day. It was a lot easier to do.
Class dismissed.
I'm in pain all the time.
She loves Van Halen, too, apparently.
Well, because Beat It had Van Halen on, so Michael played her Beat It, and she has a Van Halen tattoo also.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. Get a tattoo of anything your dad ever mentions.
Oh, listen to this. Michael emphasized tolerance. My dad raised me in a very open-minded house. She said, when I was 8 years old, in love with this female on the cover of a magazine, instead of yelling at me like the most homophobic parents, which...
Oh, yeah, happens all the time.
Exactly. He was making fun of me like, oh, you got yourself a girlfriend.
Ooh.
You.
Does she really think most parents would be like, you don't like girls? Right? And she's eight. There's
burn that!
How sexual is an eight-year-old?
That was preposterous. There's so many stupid things in that story. It was driving me crazy.
His number one focus for us, besides loving us, was education. You just got done telling us.
How he'd break into class and go, time to go play.
And he wasn't like, ooh. Oh yeah, mighty Columbus came to this land. He was like, no, he fucking slaughtered the natives. And the author goes, would he really phrase it that way? He did have kind of a potty mouth. He cussed like a sailor.
That's great. That's really nice.
I don't believe that for 1 second.
I know. Half of it is either total BS, which is so stupid.
Oh, man.
And she's not black. Stop saying you're black. You sound stupid.
What do you care what she is anyway? What do you care what she thinks?
She's living a lie, Tom.
I don't want her to think she's the wrong race. That's very silly. I mean, at least look in the mirror. You're a white person. There's nothing wrong with that. I know some people think it's criminal these days, but there's really nothing wrong with being white. It's okay. He's not your father. He's not your biological father. He raised you. I'm sure you learned a ton from him. That's great. He's a super guy. I'm glad you had so much fun with him, but he's not your biological father.
I consider myself black, she says, adding later that her dad would look me in the eyes and he'd point his finger at me and he'd be like, you're black. Be proud of your roots. And I'd be like, okay, he's my dad. Why would he lie to me?
Oh, why would he lie to her?
Yikes. Just,
does she have a relationship with her mother?
Barely.
Well, she does now because Debbie Rowe has cancer. So she's kind of dying. So I think they've reconnected. But when Michael was alive, Debbie didn't see that.
Never.
Wasn't allowed to.
No, yeah. I don't think Jackson wanted to see
him. He's a great parent. He was both mother and father. So why did he need fat ass Debbie Rowe around, as he used to call her?
Yeah, nice parent. Kept the mother out of his kid's life at all times. In fact, I think she was legally, I think she was bought out. Just paid her off. Hey, you know whose phone number I have? Ooh. Charles Brotman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Joey says this is absolutely his number.
Oh, okay.
The guy that was snubbed from the hunt, from the Trump inauguration. He's supposed to be the announcer. And then we had the audio of him at the Women's March.
Which was Tuesday. We were going to get him on last Tuesday.
Did you hear him at the Women's March, Maz?
I didn't.
I'll just repeat my favorite parts. One was,
"Hi, I'm Charlie. So when I say hello, everybody, you say, hi, Charlie."
Oh, my.
And then he actually did it, and people actually responded. And then the other great line was, "You're all angels, and my name's Charlie. So that makes you Charlie's Angels."
He's getting more pub by getting snubbed. No one even knew who he was.
I think he was trying to get laid.
To the snub.
He was trying to get laid at the Women's March. And he did. That's the most amazing
thing. I had no idea that there was even an announcer for the inauguration, or they used the same guy, because who cares?
No one knows. No one knew that until he got
What did you think
out.
Of the announcer at the inauguration? The new guy,
I don't even
Steve.
Know what he did.
I never heard.
You didn't hear Steve?
No. I didn't hear him, no. I don't even know what he did.
Did you hear him?
I didn't hear him either. No, but I figured you guys would have heard him.
No.
Ugh.
Hi, Charlie. I taped the inauguration so my kids could see it, but they refused to sit down and watch it.
Oh, I'm sure they would have been bored.
It's boring.
They would have been bored to
tears.
But
I wanted them to at least see some of it.
They could have seen Bill checking out.
I remember my mom wanting me to watch inauguration. I was like 9 years old, and I was like, I don't think so.
They're boring.
Really boring, Mom.
Who wants to see 20 different marching bands?
Was that been Nixon?
Yeah, I think it was Nixon.
See, that might have been the most exciting one, because people are throwing stuff at the motorcade.
I am not a crook.
I don't remember anything about it.
That's the worst Nixon impersonation I've ever heard.
I'm not a crook.
That's better.
Okay. Is this Charlie?
Terribly close. Yeah, this is Charlie.
I didn't say
Are you known close. For impersonating Nixon?
I didn't say close, no. I said better.
I am not a crook.
Hey, quit while you're ahead.
He didn't say, I am not a crook. He said, I'm not a crook.
I'm not a crook.
But that still doesn't sound right, like Nixon, at all. Oh, come on, Charlie. What else are you doing?
He's still
probably announcing something else for the Kiwanis Club or something.
He's still going through his line of poon from the Women's March.
That was the worst speech. And the crowd, you would think the crowd loved it by the response. I mean, they reacted.
Well, the ending was phenomenal.
That, Mark, when he wandered off stage.
That's Sherry Shepherd.
Charlie?
It went to a machine.
I heard a voice briefly.
Yeah, it was a machine.
I heard a beep. I think there's a beep still coming. Oh, well.
Oh, bye-bye.
Okay, Charlie. Another time, baby.
He's really full of himself.
I have never profited. Never profited.
I'm not a crook.
Is that Maz?
And in all of my years of public life,
I am not a crook.
I have never obstructed
justice. Why are you playing audio of Tom Mazaway?
And I think, too, that I can say.
Were you in politics?
In my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything.
He didn't say, I am
done.
Not a crook.
I'm not a crook.
Maz is making his face. He's transforming
he's
into Nixon.
He's doing the
not
quotes.
A crook.
He's holding his fingers up.
Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything.
Even though
I've
Nixon
done.
Did not do that when
well,
he just said that.
It's a combination from when he got on, you know, the helicopter. Remember? And he
gave
the peace sign and
went. Yes.
Like that.
That's why Tom's impersonation of Nixon is everything all at
Maybe
once.
It was my Rich Tom's Little, my Rich Little imitation of Richard Nixon. That's where I probably
Tom's
got it from.
Smiling wildly. I don't remember Nixon smiling when
I am not a crook.
He was drummed out.
Adorable.
Jeez,
let's hear your Reagan.
I can't do Reagan.
Well, doesn't every Reagan
everything starts with Will?
Will. Will. Yeah. That's right. Will.
Nancy.
Well,
your ring's easy to do. I was going through the tabloids, and there's a funny picture of Hoda Kotb.
Yeah.
When you think of
Hoda Kotb,
yeah, Shua Devatek. You think of her always smiling. I mean, doesn't she always seem like she's smiling? And I
her
swear
and Kathy Lee are always drunk.
Yeah, they do drink.
Yeah, on the Kathy Lee
show. And when Hoda Kotb smiles, her whole face collapses. It's almost like you're afraid her head's going to cave in on itself. It's really weird. I don't know what it is. But anyway, she's on a plane, and somebody is jamming their shit into her overhead.
Uh-oh.
And she's really pissed. It's just kind of funny seeing Hoda pissed.
Is she furious?
Oh, my God. Is that a real deal?
Yeah, that's a real picture.
It doesn't even look like her.
Well, she's pissed. You never see her pissed.
Let me see.
That woman. That poor woman. Look at
that lady just jamming that thing in there.
The quotes. Shove off, lady. That's the bubble they gave yes. Dakota. And then the flight attendant. She your Hoda loader? What? She your Hoda loader? What does that mean?
It's some cutesy, stupid phrase that she would never say.
I'm not a crook.
Hoda groused after the flight was over. All my stuff ended up stinking like cigarettes from her things. Gross. Quote actually included gross. Oh, man.
There's a story about Bill O'Reilly this week that is actually suggesting that Fox is considering getting rid of him over this sexual harassment thing. This is the second major sexual harassment case he's had. Major. You know, the first one was real quietly disappeared. Yeah, it was a horrible case.
That was the loofah and the dildo.
But notice it real quietly just went away. Yeah. Well, they spent a lot of money making it go away.
Do it live.
And this one is no better. And they're going to have this one's going to cost somebody a lot of money.
This one's worse because it's harassment, right? You know, an employee.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Was she an intern of his or just
she started as an intern.
Yeah. And then worked on his show.
Been there a while.
And it doesn't do him any good, considering all the Roger Ailes stuff that happened.
I just can't believe.
That's a liability for Fox.
Intern stories never turn out any good.
No, they don't.
They really don't.
Wouldn't you think, though, after the first incident in 2004, that this guy would like maybe say, you know, I've got to be careful around the building.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, he's got to be. Although a major ass, although to be doing this
if
again.
Roger Ailes is, you know, hitting on chicks left and right, maybe.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I
thought
I
it mean, was
that's,
okay.
That's utterly pathetic that an adult in his 60s would be influenced by another employee. Oh, if he can do it, I can do it.
Or then he would be doing ridiculous. It anyway.
Yeah, no, the whole thing.
Gross.
You know, I mentioned Lisa Marie, and another rich. Daughter of a rock star who marries idiots, including Michael Jackson. Yeah. He said it wouldn't last. Who?
Still blue.
She's married another loser. This is the fifth loser she's married, if you include Michael, and I do. This guy signed a post-marriage prenup. I wonder how rigid that
sounds
that
like
is.
An oxymoron. Anyway.
I know, it does. And this guy's demanding $40,000 a month in spousal support. 40 grand a month.
Why?
What's he got because going?
She's been supporting him for a long
and
time.
And he got accustomed to...
Yes, the lifestyle he's accustomed to. Exactly.
So
that's the illegal term.
Then stay in the lifestyle. Your lifestyle's changing, my man.
You know what's interesting about this? Exactly. Yeah. You're no longer with this rich chick, so go back to being
the loser you were
fluffer
before.
You used to be.
I'll take that for the that. Year at this time.
It's funny, when there's a guy in the story, when it's a girl and a guy and the girl's one with the money, that's when people go, oh, what bullshit. When it's a really rich guy and a chick that demands, you know, 50 grand
they
a month or something, and she
it.
Married some guy who worked all his life. And
she deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're more inclined to say that. I think a lot of people feel like, well, that's bullshit. Why should she have half of his money? She didn't earn his money.
Yeah, like Melinda Gates.
Melinda Gates. She can kiss my ass. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You're not kidding anybody, Gates. Melinda, that is. It's the Bill Gates Foundation.
You're not fooling anyone, Bill
it's
or
not
Melinda
your money.
Gates.
How much money did you throw into that thing?
Yeah.
How much of her cash do you think is in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? None.
She was an executive, so maybe 100 grand.
Maybe.
A year or however long she
was. I bet he pays for everything.
You're going to call her Belinda now?
Why?
Belinda? Bill and Melinda.
Oh. That's their celebrity name?
Oh, like Melinda Spidey Gates? Or?
Bennifer.
Bennifer. My God. I thought Affleck would be getting back in line with J-Lo. I really did. Because
maybe he is.
No, who's J-Lo with now?
Isn't she with Drake.
Yeah. Ugh. That's not real, is it?
No one believes it. But it's funny, the more I read about it, it sounds like she's crazy about him. I don't know about what his deal is. And I don't know where Casper the Friendly Mooch went. I guess he's back in line behind Chris Judd.
How about her ex-husband, the crooner? What was his name?
Mark Anthony.
Yeah, Mark Anthony. I thought he was back.
He was in line, and he tried to suck. He sucked face with her on national television.
Yeah, I thought he was back.
I think she put him back in line.
How about the fact that Tom just called him the crooner?
The crooner? He's not a crooner.
The crooner.
He's a Latin music guy.
I know, and he's very good.
Oh. And Lim Mooch.
Great show.
great show.
My childhood.
Are you pumped for the Lego Batman movie?
I am. Can't wait.
I actually saw an ad the other day that made me laugh about it. Because, do you know the plot behind it, Drew?
No, I have no idea.
The Lego. Did you ever see the Lego movie, Tom?
I have not seen one.
Kids, the original one's kind of funny. There's some funny lines.
I bet it is.
The Batman character, Will Arnett, voices it, and that's easily the funniest part. So now he's
deep voice.
But the theme of the movie is Barbara Gordon is the new commissioner, and of course he won't accept it because she's a woman. I mean, that's just the part of the ad. He was like blown away that it was a woman, and of course he starts calling her Batgirl, and she's like, "Why am I a girl? Are you Bat Boy?" I don't know, it's just kind of funny because he's this arrogant version of Batman.
Are you gonna take Charlotte to see it?
No,
no. Mm-hmm. Does she like playing with Legos or not yet?
Duplos.
Duplos. Yeah, that's right. They're bigger.
Hey, I want to see a weird picture of, you're going to believe this is Pam Anderson. They're suggesting that she's like Botoxing herself to death.
Is that possible?
Well, not to death, but she looks very strange. And
is it puffy?
Yeah, kind of puffy.
Didn't she have a cancer scare recently?
You can't, Pam Anderson?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
She's got hep what? Hep B? Hep C?
Yeah, she has hepatitis.
C, I think.
Which she said she got from Tommy Lee.
Huh?
She's got to make herself look good for Julian Assange.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, she goes. She gets all sexy and goes sees Julian Assange, who of course is pounding off regularly.
Yeah,
never has
any
chicks.
Can't leave that house.
But look at Pam Anderson. She looks bizarre. That doesn't even look like her.
Wow, it looks like she's
strange.
Looks like she's almost sleeping.
I'm trying to figure out who she looks like. She looks like another chick. She doesn't look like herself. And that reminds me, the Kenny Rogers pictures, he's retired.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't look like himself anymore. The Kenny Rogers page online, those people look more like Kenny Rogers than Kenny Rogers.
By the way, I Googled Pamela Anderson cancer, and the first thing that pops up, Pamela Anderson cancer claim, not true.
Okay, there you go.
Where's she?
That answers that.
Oh, my God.
I know, isn't that weird?
Whoa.
She looks bizarre.
Her forehead is growing.
Yeah, that too.
I guess it's growing because she's putting Botox in there to not have wrinkles. From Baywatch to Botox.
But she looks like, I swear to God, she looks like another actress. I can't think of who it is. She does not look like Pam Anderson anymore.
Kristen Chenoweth.
No.
You don't think so?
Faye Dunaway.
I don't know what Kristen Chenoweth looks like.
Oh, whoa, Charles Manson, final photo.
The final Manson photos are blurry. Look at that picture of Manson. What kind?
Now,
both tabloids, The Globe and The Inquirer, included this blurry picture. Ooh. The last photo of Manson. It's a blur. It's
now,
like
that's ridiculous.
That could be anybody in that picture.
And we know that both cops had a smartphone on them because they're playing video games outside.
Exactly. So they have a picture of the hallway somewhere with there's like six cops out there.
Are
like
they all
like
playing
Manson's
going to
sprint away at 82.
Are they on their phone like the last time?
Two or three of them looked to be on their phones.
Yeah, they're all
playing sitting down looking at something, and I suspect it was their phone. But
they're all playing Slither against each other.
Seriously, that could be anyone.
That could be an old woman, evenly. You know, there's no swastika on his forehead,
right?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Where? Well,
I can't see it. Oh yeah, I can see it. You can see it.
But it's a blur.
Somebody could just put a dot on the person.
It could have been Ash Wednesday.
Just put something on your forehead there. I'll make it real blurry.
Yeah, it doesn't look like someone gave him ashes for Ash Wednesday.
Possibly, it's in the right spot.
Oh wow.
Mariah Carey's making all these demands, these tour demands, total control of stage monitors and all this stupid stuff. And so somebody had to go to her management and say, Lionel Richie's the headliner. She's not the headliner. So she won't be making these demands.
Oh.
If she'd like to get off the tour for a price, that can be arranged.
Lionel Richie's the...
Yeah, he's the... I know. I was surprised to see that, too.
I'm kind of blown away by that.
But who would you rather see, Lionel Richie or Mariah Carey?
Me?
Lionel Richie would probably try to put on a show.
Yeah. She's going
to
wreck it. She's going to wreck it.
She's going to show up late.
Yeah,
she'll be a pain in the ass.
She'll be a disaster.
She's going to show up so late, she's going to make herself be the headliner.
Apparently, supposedly there's stuff in the contract about her being on time. And
really?
Yeah, and if she isn't, here's what happens.
This isn't like a co-headlining, like depending on what...
No, really? He is the headliner.
That's wild.
Yeah, she's manning total control.
Who wants to see her anymore? Unless she's, you know...
Oh, there's
yeah. She wants her team to run sound, lights, and monitors, which would be fine. But she's going on a joint tour with Lionel Richie, and he isn't going to let her.
Awesome.
She's going to let her people be in charge of his tour. This is going to be a disaster.
Don't do it, Lionel.
Yeah, this 35 show tour is listed as Lionel Richie and very special guest Mariah Carey. It doesn't appear anyone has told Mariah she has second billing.
Don't give in, Lionel.
Harrison Ford did not go to Carrie Fisher's funeral.
He didn't?
No.
And did Tom Meat Processor go?
Unknown. That's an interesting possibility. That would put Harrison Ford at her funeral, which would be good.
He showed up undercover as a strip club.
Yeah, he used to show up and he used to go to like odd Midwestern towns where no one, he thought no one would know who Harrison Ford is and say he was Tom the Meat Processor and pick up chicks.
He wouldn't even give a last name.
He'd fly out of town in his plane, his private plane. Rosie O'Donnell, somebody got a screen grab of her daughter, like desperate for blow. I just want some blow and I don't want to do bad things for it, but I need it. It helps me with Nick. Deal with Nick. That's her husband, I guess.
Why don't you just get rid of Nick?
Yeah, good question. It's late. I need it. I'm telling you, I want it. Okay, I see now. So what are you doing right now? Sitting on the couch, trying to make some money so I can buy a blow. Talking to my dealer. I don't know. Fell asleep. Just woke up. Trying to get drugs. She spells trying to get drugs. T-R-Y-N-A. Get drugs.
Trying to.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, just blow. I need some. Sounds fun.
Oh, the way she's texting sounds like she has some.
I need a way to get $20. How much blow can you get for $20?
She probably gets a good deal.
Oh, maybe she's smoking crack.
Oh. Yeah.
That would be more the $20 variety, I think. Would make this week way easier. You give me more than $20 to make the week easier on blow, honey. So anyway, apparently Rosie O'Donnell's been trying to get her to go to rehab.
Is this the same one?
Rehab.
Is this the same one that was missing and she found her at the guy's house? Was her name Chelsea or?
Let's see. Yeah, Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea
that's
O'Donnell.
The same, that's 19. The same
she's
one.
Married to a 31-year-old.
Yeah, that she was shooting up heroin with.
Yeah, she's secretly married 31-year-old plumber Nicholas Allegro. 8 months after they met.
Now, Oprah, I mean, what's her name? Rosie brought her up since she was a baby, right?
Yeah, well, she adopted her, but
right,
yeah.
As a baby.
Yeah, she didn't give her back like some of the others she gave back.
That's right.
Yeah, she gave that kid back.
This
kid's not working out.
That's really amazing. That just nobody ever mentions that or talks about that she gave a child back.
I've talked about it many times.
I know.
But I think it's pretty rare.
You
I don't
also,
know why.
You know, the other thing you always point out about her, too, which is so true, is the whole joke about her having the hots for Tom Cruise.
That was so embarrassing. It was horrible when it was happening because everyone knew she was a lesbian, first of all. And second of all, the idea of her with Tom Cruise, are you
laughable.
Kidding?
Laughable.
I mean, how embarrassing to act like you want to bang Tom Cruise all that time.
Honestly, she should be reminded of that every day, of how stupid that was.
It was really bad. And then he came on the show and kissed her ass. It was even more embarrassing. Let's see what else. Oh, Jay-Z has a love child apparently Beyonce didn't know about. And the love child apparently this is weird. It's one of these things where
love child do.
The kid is old. The kid is I want to say like 20 something. Let's see. But the mother would have been like 15 when this kid was born.
Okay.
And so they're suggesting that, you know, they're considering looking into this case if this is indeed Jay-Z's kid. And they've been trying to get him to take a DNA test for a long, long time. And he's been fighting it. And he's got, you know, he's got attorneys out the ass. So they keep putting off this DNA test, suggesting he shouldn't have to take it or he doesn't have to take it or he's in the wrong state to take it.
Wow, there's no statute of limitations on that, statutory rape. And
I don't know.
She obviously doesn't have the press. I mean, it's pretty easy to prove.
Yeah. Oh, it's not hard at all to prove.
Yeah.
Let's see. Attorney at the Family Civil Liberties Union, which is representing Reimer in his ongoing David and Goliath paternity battle against Jay-Z in Pennsylvania, said the 21-time Grammy winner could be terrified that the suit will expose these salacious details about Jay-Z's relationship with a young girl, which have emerged as music industry's power couple sits on the brink of divorce. Couple wed in April 2008. Their marriage has repeatedly made headlines with reports of squabbles and endless string of cheating allegations.
What was the whole elevator thing?
Oh, yeah. Where her sister kicked him or something?
Yeah, Solange. Because of the cheating allegations.
Ramirez's mother began her legal battle to prove Jay-Z was his father. And since 47-year-old Jay-Z and his team of pit bull lawyers have used a variety of tactics, according to the other attorneys, to block the DNA test. Jay-Z's even claimed he didn't own property in New Jersey in a bid to avoid a paternity test in that state. That is not true.
Why does he just say that he nailed her? And, there's got to be a state that has a smaller age of consent, right? I mean, yeah. How do you prove you knock someone up in a certain state?
Well, it's very messy, obviously. Yeah. But if you know, the DNA test would prove everything. I mean, if he's not the father, none
except,
of it matters.
Except for where the baby was conceived. We took a road trip to Kentucky.
Well, yeah, that would be interesting. We could always claim something like that.
Do you want to hear the other child case with the celebrity?
What's that?
Telling you about? Where's it at? Inside Magic Johnson's secret son bombshell.
Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Magic's kid.
The
kid's like 35.
The way they write this.
What did he ever do?
It always makes me laugh. Basketball legend Magic Johnson committed a flagrant foul by fathering a secret love child.
Magic Johnson. What has he done?
And then turning his back on him, which is anybody surprised that Magic would have turned their back on him?
No. Well, I love the way he introduced his 3-year-old to Cookie. The kid just shows up and Cookie's like, oh, who's this? That's my kid, Cookie. She's like, oh, isn't that nice?
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind when you find out what
Cookie.
What Magic does today. The Atlanta woman told Radar Online in a worldwide exclusive that Magic made a fast break out of her life in 1982 when she announced that she was pregnant. The shocking revelation was uncovered just weeks after the HIV-positive horn dog led a panel discussion at the 5th annual Ladylike Day at UCLA, offering young girls honest advice about romance and relationships.
Mm.
And all I can think of is the Cookie Johnson book. And how many times that they were engaged and then broke it off and got back together? And
3 times.
Hanging up the phone because he's throwing a party for his teammates?
Oh, yeah, that.
And he's going to teach women about romance and relationships?
Sure.
Now, Renee Perkins is finally speaking out about how the former L.A. Lakers star, who admitted to sleeping with thousands of women, including groupies, call girls, and strippers.
And men.
And men, probably, possibly. I don't know.
Zip.
abandoned her and their now 35-year-old love child, Chauncey. It tore me apart because I really didn't want to have to raise a child on my own, said Renee, 61. Irvin was a notorious womanizer. He had thousands during his career, said long time.
Oh, so she was like 10 years older than Magic, or maybe, no, not 10 years, maybe a couple years.
A little older, not too much.
No, yeah, he's about that age. That's right.
Irvin was a notorious womanizer. He had thousands during his career, said longtime friend Pamela McGee, who played on the U.S. Women's Olympic team in 84, according to Renee. Now 57-year-old Magic Johnson worked his magic on her, then abruptly dumped her after a year-long romance when she announced the pregnancy. She also claimed Magic had his basketball advisor, Dr. Charles Tucker, reach out to strong-arm her into getting an abortion. Dr. Tucker told me I had to get an abortion and that Magic was not going to be with me because he had his career to worry about, she revealed.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
A lot.
She provided a letter from her attorney in a Los Angeles lab proving that she and Magic had taken blood tests to determine if he fathered the child. She also served up tapes of a 1985 phone call allegedly between her and Magic in which she acknowledges the boy's existence.
Well.
Tell him, hi, he allegedly said in one call. Hey, Chauncey, Magic Johnson says hi. Magic promised Renee he would provide for the boy, she said, but that promise went up in smoke. She filed a paternity suit in 1982, but it was later dropped because she couldn't afford an attorney. When she contacted the lab 7 years later to retrieve the results, she was told they had been lost because the lab had moved 3 times since they were taken. Does that sound like a very reputable lab?
Sounds a little shady.
The whole thing sounds shady, but I have a number for
Chauncey.
What
kind of low-income lab is this?
I have a number for Chauncey.
Chauncey Johnson?
Chauncey, that's the kid?
Yeah, Chauncey Johnson.
Hmm. Oh, wait, goes by Johnson?
No, his name's Chauncey.
Okay. Yeah, let's call him.
All right. It's one of those two numbers, Jay. He's down in, I think I said Atlanta. Is anybody surprised by this?
No.
If he answers the phone and just goes, what up, what up, what up? I mean,
yeah, that'd be huge.
He's closed, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe he knows that, and that's just how he answers the phone now.
Now what's Magic's?
Well, maybe he's extremely gay.
What's Magic's kid's name? That's gay.
EJ.
EJ3. Got it.
I saw EJ's in the tabloids wearing a mini skirt.
Hot.
Like a one piece mini skirt. Weird.
Chauncey.
It seemed like a girl would wear it. But EJ.
Very flamboyant.
Unisexual in his dressing.
Yeah, he's flamboyant.
Come on, Chauncey Johnson.
All right, we got the other one.
I'm sorry. The party you are trying to reach has not set up voicemail on.
Chauncey.
8.
Come on.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
Try the other one.
Bye-bye.
Is this the mom?
No. Well, they're both registered. I think he lives with mama still.
Oh, he does.
Or she lives
at 35?
Or she lives with him.
Oh, okay.
Won't want her.
Interesting. They could basically afford one residence between them.
That's what it sounds like.
And they have a home line, which is nice.
What's mom's name?
I forgot. It's written down there. I know I said it, but I forgot it already. I circled it, I thought. Is it not working? Renee.
Renee and Chauncey? Okay.
Renee Johnson.
Hello?
Oh, is this Chauncey?
Who?
Chauncey? Or Renee?
No, you got the wrong name, buddy.
Oh, okay. We're trying to reach Magic Johnson's illegitimate kid, Chauncey. You're not, you know, Magic, is there any Magic's kids around there?
Magic what?
Magic Johnson's kids. This was supposed to be his illegitimate son's phone number.
No, thank you. Bye-bye.
What do you mean,
bye-bye.
No, thank you?
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
I wasn't offering him anything.
Bye-bye. No, thank you. What? Although I got to admit.
We're a solicitor?
I got to admit, it'd be pretty weird if someone called up.
I know. It's a little odd.
But I like
people with that stuff.
I like how you asked for any of his illegitimate kids. Because chances are.
It could be a few. Hey, if you're looking for the best deal on your new ride, check out our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInADee.com. That's our studio sponsor, DealsInADee.com. DealsInADee.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best prices in the D. During their auto show event, you can lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 for just $169 a month. Yep, you heard right, $169 a month and over 200 Ram available. Hopefully the auto show prices are still in effect since the auto show just ended.
Just ended.
Just
yeah.
ended.
Well, yeah, not why looking, not?
Yeah, why not?
The only way to find out is to go to dealsinthed.com.
That's right. Say, is that deal still in effect? The advertising's unclear.
It's just
easy. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I want to get a car from you. Oh, boy. Okay. I'll send an email. Not looking for a lease? They have you covered there, too. Right now, you can save up to $12,000 off a new Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk. So when you're ready to get your new ride, check out our new friends at DealsInADee.com. And that site, by the way, has prices, a plan, and otherwise for anything you could possibly want, whether it's at Zot over on 75, exit 98, or at M59, Dodge Ram, Zot Dodge Ram, or Zot Chrysler Jeep. Get there!
The other thing you can do on that site, too, besides buying a car, they have a thing where you can put in to sell your car. Tell them what kind of car it is and send pictures up.
Oh, that's
you
cool.
You have to go out there. You get 48 hours to get an appraisal.
Plus, if you get out to M59, you can go visit the Silverdome.
Yeah, I'm sure people do that
like
all
Tom
the time.
Did.
I wonder if anyone has ever done what Tom Mazzaway did on that occasion and just visited the Silverdome for old time's sake.
You know, I wish I could have really gotten
all
in
this
the parking
time.
Lot.
God.
You know what's funny about that, though, Tom? I thought about you the other day. This is so ridiculous. And this is how you've infiltrated my mind. We were in Corktown. Last Friday, we were eating in Corktown.
Yes, Tiger Stadium?
Went by Tiger Stadium.
Oh, you see the plaza? The plaza's
the
still
plaza's
up.
Still up. That's the corner we came up Trumbull to Michigan.
That's ridiculous.
And I just started laughing. Like, there's Tiger Stadium. Tom would be so bummed that it's torn down.
Flagpole's still there.
The flagpole?
I think it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think it is.
I didn't notice. I just noticed the plaza.
They're building the new so PAL.
Yeah, they have the signs up for that, the construction signs. Corktown's really nice right now.
Oh, man. God, yes.
Oh, my.
What?
Jay's been keeping up with the Warren City Council meeting.
Oh, yeah?
They killed the audio. They killed the live feed.
Why?
Because they were about to take comments about Fouts.
Uh-oh.
Well, why would they kill?
Because people were about to ream Fouts.
Who killed it?
It just dropped. It was citizens were coming up making to the podium.
Citizens?
But was this, are you watching it like through a news channel or Warren's actual webpage?
They're live streaming it from Warren and they killed the feed.
Oh, so the news did.
Wonder whose idea that was.
Yeah. Why did the news media kill it though?
It had to be Warren killed it. Yeah. Fouts had it killed. It had to be.
But it's city council.
You know the people are going to ream his ass.
That's bullshit.
No, it's total bullshit.
Because it was on the agenda. We looked at the agenda, too. So.
Is he there right now?
He wasn't there, no.
But they're discussing it. They're discussing it. It was on the agenda.
No, I know. What a pussy.
I know. It's making me crazy that this guy thinks he can say it's not him and people believe him. People are so stupid!
I know. People believe what they want to believe.
But it's his voice. It's so clearly his voice. There's no editing. There's nothing. And not only that, they've talked to a bunch of people about this. People do not engineer voices to sound like a real person. They don't do that. People impersonate people, but they don't. There's no engineering of sound to make it sound like someone else. That's very uncommon.
I don't judge other people. The same people that are doing this sort of thing are the same ones that elected Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Is that our girl from last week?
Some people believe what they want to believe, like there
like
were,
Gladys.
Like there were thin.
I'm not dried up either.
Oh, like there were 3 to 5 million legal votes cast.
She didn't think it was Fouts, but she hasn't listened to the tape, so she's.
I know we don't want to talk about Trump, but why is he still talking about the election?
I have no idea.
Saying it's rigged.
To me, it's absolute self-destruction.
It undermines the meeting with the big three today.
Exactly.
If you go to any national publication, that
still says rigged is the top story.
It's ridiculous that he is saying that still.
I don't know. They talked about the inauguration crowd for 2 days. It's like, okay, you're president. A lot of people felt that.
Start governing.
Look, he's president. He's nothing I can do about it. Just let it go. Whatever. But. Why he's talking about this stupid stuff, and if he thinks that they're going to fight the media every day, people are going to get real bored of that, and they're going to get real pissed, too.
He was bummed at Spicer's press conference on Saturday, the very first one. He didn't think it was tough enough.
Oh, please. That wasn't even a press conference. He didn't take any questions.
I know. Whatever.
Anyway, these morons, this asshole thinks he can get away with this. It's ridiculous.
Oh, Fauci?
Yeah, and I can't believe nobody is doing anything. No women's group, no black groups, no handicap groups, nothing. No one's doing shit.
I don't know. You want to start a march on Warren?
Maybe.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I mean, we're the only group that he hasn't offended practically.
Yeah, white males.
Everyone else offends us.
All the Hispanic males, too, right?
That's true.
He won't say anything about Hispanic men.
It's really getting ridiculous.
I don't know. Maybe it's just small potatoes. Maybe nobody cares.
I guess maybe it is. I don't know. I just thought people cared whenever anybody did something like this.
Although city council is doing something. I mean, they're, like we mentioned earlier, they're going to have this or looking into having an independent investigator about the, you know, raising funds.
Yeah, but that's all about something illegal he did that they should have been dealing with anyway.
I tell you, it's the only way to get rid of him, though.
So suddenly, because he fucks up so badly on this one, oh, my God, can you believe what he says about these people? They decide, well, let's nail him with the illegal stuff that he does. Why didn't you do something about that when he did it anyway? Yeah. What is this?
I mean, well, you're not looking at the good things he's done.
Yeah.
You tell him, Gladys. Shut
up. No, he's a great mayor, but...
He's a bad man.
He's an asshole, and he's saying things that you can't say in that position. At least
I'm 93, and it doesn't bother me a bit.
I didn't think you could. I guess you can. I guess it doesn't matter.
Gladys is 93?
Yeah.
Wow. She sounds good.
But I'm not washed out.
Well, I don't know. Fout says you are.
Well, anyway.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
at least you got some drops out of Gladys.
Good old Ferndale. That's where I grew up.
Yeah, about 90 years ago.
For you.
I think she might be dried out. I don't know.
I'm not dried up either.
Okay, all right. She said, I'm going to take her for a word.
I'm not washed up.
We're going to run. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks to Jeff Perlman.
Guy's great.
Yeah, Gunslinger. What's the title here? The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre by Jeff Perlman, best-selling author of Sweetness and Boys Will Be Boys. What, the Mets book didn't make a bestseller?
Yeah, I would think the Mets book would, or Showtime.
Yeah, I would have thought
Showtime's
being
an
L.A.
book
and a New York book, you'd think those books would be giant. They're great.
That's funny. I totally believe him that he wrote this one just so he could write the USFL.
He loves the USFL.
That's going to be a great book.
And Maz, apparently you're going to be quoted in the book.
I am. Long live the USFL.
How long did you talk to him?
Probably 20 minutes.
Do you think that was professional of you when you're in the booking interviews for us to be making, trying to get in a book?
Yes.
Well, that was way before you even wanted his book. I talked to him.
We will talk to him all the time.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
When did that happen? When did you talk to Perlman?
Months ago.
Why were you talking to him?
Because I saw he was writing a USFL book, so I wrote him a little Twitter note saying, hey, I was at the 1983 USFL draft. He's like, you mean the one at the Ambassador Hotel? I'm like, yeah, and I had notes from it, and I had all kinds of
USFL. Why do you have notes from it? Why do you have notes from the draft in 1983?
I had the USFL, you know, the news stuff that they give you out. You know, like a Like a folder.
The press release?
Yeah, the press release.
You saved it?
Oh, yeah, I saved everything from the USFL.
Did you have a media pass to the...
No. Oh. It was just two draft nicks going, me and Ralph. Ralph Focaraccio and I.
I think that's going beyond draft nicks.
Yeah, I would say
the
so.
USFL
draft. We went to the NFL draft. we're New Jersey
that's
kids.
That doesn't help your argument. That's just as dumb.
Every time I see people at the draft, I don't care if it's the USFL or the NFL, I go, God, wouldn't that be boring to sit there all the time? Yes. It's not boring.
No, it was fun. Really? You leave when you want. You come and go as you please.
All right.
And something happened at this Warren City Council. This fiery lady speaking, and everyone just started applauding.
Oh, she just raised her hand.
Yeah.
Welcome, Council, citizens of Warren, media, TV, Free Press, Macomb Daily, Interfaith Leaders, and all our great union members. I'm here to protest.
I don't you just picture Fouts watching this?
Oh,
she's dried up.
I petitioned with my church. It's in the newspapers. Today,
what are you talking about?
She sounds like a Fouts lover to me.
Petition to remove this bigot.
Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you, lady. Good job.
Crowd's going nuts.
We do not need a racist, anti-LGBT, and I will tell you, and I will attest in the court of law on the good book what Mr. Fouts said to me. No tape. He said these words to me, no people like those people in Ferndale or Roseville will come to my town. And I said, I'm the DBA, because he probably kicked me
off. Is Roseville gay?
I didn't know that.
Ferndale's very gay.
You will not ruin the great city of Warren. We're here to protect it. I'm 70. My mother lived to 94.
Ooh.
I will make it to 104 and fight all of you. We will
kick
win.
Ass!
Think I want to date a fucking 60-year-old man? Take
oh my gosh, she's grabbing the mic and turning around. She rules! Look at her. That chick rules! And the walker.
Kesley,
how feisty she is.
Look, that's a packed house, Drew.
She does have a walker at 70. I don't know if she's going to make it to 104.
Oh, she's going to try.
No, she's not going
to
be mobile.
Hey, she's going to add you to the list. She's going to fight you, too.
Fine, I'll fight her.
I'll
fucking take her on.
Here we go.
And I must say, this old timer.
Another dried up.
Has known the inside Warren politics. When some of you up there were nothing but a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
What? A pinko?
Twinkle.
Oh, twinkle.
What is she, Archie Bunker?
I stood behind at the beginning of your careers. And at different points, I was very proud of the people who represented us.
Stuck slower than Dr. Phil.
And sometimes I was very sad.
I am not a crook.
Oh.
It wasn't too many distant years ago, Mr. Sadowski, that I can remember you.
Right, I know we have to wrap here, but I got to show you the dumbest thing that I saw on TV
today.
With
at least three females.
They're pussies when they're young, and when they get older, they're just mean, hateful, dried up old cunts.
Allegedly.
You can kill this lady. She's too slow for me.
Jeez.
But it reminded me of something before we go. Did you watch Inside Edition?
Yeah, I did.
Nothing stood out to you?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of cool things. I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, they opened with Erin Andrews, who apparently had
cancer. Yeah, that's right. She had cervical cancer. She didn't miss a game. Actually, I was impressed with that.
It's very survivable. But yeah, I mean, she didn't miss a game.
Very survivable.
Well, when you get it, I think I looked up the survival rates.
I still, you know, at the same time, she could have missed a lot of time and been paid if she wanted to, and she didn't. So I'm going to give her points for
that's
that.
That's fair.
I wish she did miss time to take care of herself, I mean.
Well, she missed a couple of rehearsals Dancing with the Stars, apparently.
I appreciate that she missed Dancing with the Stars and not the football.
Yeah, that was cool.
But there was another story, if I could just find damn thing. Of somebody.
Yeah, not the Paris Jackson story?
No.
I'm glad you had this queued up, at least.
Somebody. Well, this isn't my TV. It's somebody that has a band now that made me want to vomit. Here it is. Hang on. Damn it.
That's Field. Dr.
What?
Field.
Huh?
Said that was Dr.
Oh, no.
Phil.
Who has a band? It's Dr. Phil's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Brazilian double for Megan Fox. And Dr. Phil's son is rocking out.
No, he's not.
The band, 100 Handed, performed on the eve of the release of his band's new single, Vibe. Fans lined up around the block in the pouring rain to watch them perform.
Just like fun and exciting and everything is new.
Neither one of us have any musical talent whatsoever. And he can play every instrument. He can do it all.
Oh, boy.
That's a proud
Can you believe that
Coming
Dick
up,
has really? A band?
No. Is that the one who did the bit when they said they want to see what happened to people that are really handsome, how people react to them?
Yes, because...
Yeah, he's not that handsome, but they acted like he was too handsome, and So he went around, and then they had people react to him, and then they made him ugly, quote-unquote. He's not. I mean, it was the most arrogant thing I've ever seen in my life. I was screaming at the TV, "You're not that good-looking! Stop it!"
He's married to one of those... Playboy.
He's married to a playmate.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Yeah. That band Being Dr. Phil's loaded kid, it does a lot for you.
All I can think of is one of our prod moments when the Dr. Phil interview came up.
I'll never forget it.
And they said we had to
interview his brat,
too. His kid, too. And we just went, no thanks. No thanks.
I don't think they were used to hearing that either, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Those people just sucked it up and interviewed the brat.
Like, fuck. You could have lied.
Embarrassing.
Said, sure, we'll interview your kid. And never talk to him.
A lot of people try to pull shit like that, but that was so blatant. And the kid was a zero.
Well, I appreciate that they at least brought it up beforehand as opposed to, the
day launching it on you. That's true. Some people do that. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow. So have a good one, everybody. And Trudy's on Thursday, of course. So we'll
see you.
See you.